We are Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, a home theater podcast that's all about the experiences. And Todd, how you doing? Todd Anderson from AV Nirvana, streaming live at AV Nirvana as well. So how we doing, buddy? Things great. Going well?
Yeah, great. That was a neat opening. I love it.
You've never seen my opening before?
Oh, I've seen it, but not like this.
Not behind the scenes.
Exactly. Yeah.
The sights, the sounds, the crackling noises.
Oh, behind the scenes. Yeah. So I'm having some equipment issues today. It's all my fault that we are running late.
It's nobody's
fault. Pretty much the story of my life. My wife would probably tell you.
It's called technology. But, nothing ever works right, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to hide out kind of in the back room of my basement because my family's upstairs, the dogs are upstairs, and they didn't want to hide out, you know, and keep from running around where the other area that I like to set up in.
Yeah.
So
it's a beautiful backdrop. I don't know. It's you should just do a live stream of whatever goes on in that room.
This is the back game room.
Yeah. The back game room.
This is where the
you have
the
a home front game room. You have a back game room.
Yeah, we should do a home theater, one of your home theater tours sometime, and we could do a walk around.
What? Yeah, when I get time to edit the three I got sitting in the queue. Yeah. I'm already in trouble for those.
Oh yeah.
Oh, so.
Yeah, this is like the back. We built on a couple years ago onto our kitchen. We had built an addition onto our house to make the kitchen bigger. Mm-hmm. And this room opened up. I was like, perfect.
There you go.
So it's just a little more territory than I've claimed down.
Yeah.
Down in the,
And there goes that noise. Okay. And I took care of it.
Okay.
We're good.
Yeah. Sorry, folks. I have no idea what's going on. It could be my...
Yeah, it's weird.
My USB interface, but...
Yeah. No biggie. Nothing new. Let's go first and foremost. Did you get a chance to hear that interview that I did with Paul on Takeover Tuesday?
I heard about 45 minutes of it. I think I heard the meat of it.
Yeah, the gist of it.
The gist of it, yeah.
Yeah.
So, interesting what conversation. What do you think? So from my perspective, I think the most important thing that people should do is make sure that their system is channel matched, leveled, right? Mm-hmm. So whether it's to, it was a little confusing when he was talking because he referenced 85 dB and then he was referencing 75 dB. And he kind of mentioned, hey, you know, your AVR is going to send out pink noise at 75 dB, which I believe is the THX standard. And that's why so many AVRs have 75 dB as your reference level. And 85 dB is the Dolby reference level, which is what they mix in studios.
Right.
So, like you were saying, you can listen at minus, what would be basically 6 dB off of reference, and it still sounds really good and really loud. Mm-hmm. And typically when I watch movies with my family, that's about where we settle. Mm-hmm. My processor is set at minus 30, which I believe is minus 30 off of 105, which would be 85
dB. Right.
So that's typically where I land. Is minus 30, and that's what's comfortable to me. It never sounds overly loud, but I don't have any problem backing it off either.
Right. Yeah. And that's minus 30. That's not minus 30 off of like zero off of reference.
Yeah.
That's
just minus.
It's the way the processor works.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's minus 30 off of what would be 105, which is the max, the peak. Right.
Right. So you're for all intent, like you said, that's 85. So
85.
Minus 30, right. It means reference level.
Correct.
For all intents and purposes, because you're trying to get to that 85.
Right. And when I watch on my own, that's usually where it lands. If it's ever harsh, I'll, you know, or I'd say harsh, just too much for the ears, I'll back it off.
Yeah.
But my, you know, like my wife does not like it at minus 30. So,
well, and that's what, so did you get to the part where we came up with the minus six where he was talking about? Yeah. And it's like, it's the perception in the room, which that's what I found super interesting.
I did too. It's interesting that you can't quantify it though, in some way.
Well, you can't because it's your brain interpreting everything it's taking in. Like, wow, the walls are really close to me right now and I'm hearing this noise. So your brain is telling you something different than when the walls are really far away and you hear the exact same volume of noise.
Right.
And it's just one of those things that, I mean, what are you going to do? You can't, like you said, you can't quantify it.
Right.
Because you can't prove what's in your head.
Right.
You know, or in, but they did the tests, blind tests with people, and they were like, oh no, that's louder. And it was like, no, 85 dB is 85 dB.
It's like, right. And it's psychoacoustics. It's just,
right.
Well, here's the funny thing though, DJ. And I don't know if you'll agree with this or not, but there's so many times when I've gone to the movie theater and it's just been way too loud, particularly IMAX films, where it's just so loud, it's distorting.
Yeah.
And
that's a hot button topic. We talked about that yesterday in the podcast. We talk about it all the time, like IMAX and stuff. And there it is. And it's, but then that was kind of the idea of set Paul and I off as we heard another podcast talking about music, and people just like it loud. People do. And what I said to Steve yesterday in the podcast was, I was like, you know, we're older now. Congratulations. Happy birthday. You just turned the big 5-0. So you welcome to the club.
Yep.
But when we were younger, we drove around, this is what I said to Steve, we drove around in our cars, cranked it up, and the neighbors could hear you coming from a mile away because we liked it loud.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden we're in an IMAX theater and we're like, damn, that's too loud. And it's like, is it them or us? You know, it's
like, and outgrowing. It also could be duration. You know, music is typically shorter spurts.
not when I was driving.
Yes. Oh, believe me, I've been there. I still am there sometimes.
I know.
I think a lot of times in theaters, it's just, you can hear the distortion, you know, the speaker, whatever is going on. Maybe the speakers are old and not operating properly anymore, or whatever it may be. They're just not, they just can't hack it. I mean, that's one of the reasons why the Dolby Cinema is so much fun to go to. But even the last Dolby Cinema movie I went to, which I believe was The Force Awakens, I think that maybe that was the last one, it seemed like it could have been dialed back just a little bit for me. But like you said, they have a standard, right? Because they don't want movie theaters necessarily having that say in what they're going to do. So they don't want to ruin the presentation. So
But the other thing that I liked, we don't have to hash this out all over again. It's been a long couple of days and I'm getting email after email. And what I do find funny though is it's a 3-hour podcast, right? And we do get to the meat of it in pretty much the first hour, but I get emails from multiple people, and they'll be talking about something that they just haven't heard us talk about yet in the podcast because they email you right away.
Right.
And you're like, just give it. And I just ignore it. I don't ignore it. I read it. I'm like, they'll hear it.
Right.
But it's like, oh, okay. But I love the idea that there is this kind of research for us to be able to get the experience that we want.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and give us some knowledge for that. We're not just looking anymore. And like I've said to numerous people over the last few days, what I really like about the minus six is I just feel like now there's some solid like information here, not just okay, zero is reference, or in your case like minus that's reference. Why? That's what they mix. The information that Paul dug up and was able to, and actually you put it all together, it'd be like solid to me. It's even more solid to me, you know. And it done for people like us that are looking for the right experience, or the best experience we can get.
Right. Right. I have to be honest. I had to check today. I had to pull out the SPL meter and go check just to confirm that minus 30 was in fact what reference would be. Or just to make sure my system was calibrated to that. Cause all of a sudden I was like, man, it doesn't sound overly loud, because he was kind of like saying, you know, people kind of grit their teeth and gut through it sometimes. And I've never really felt that way myself, but
yeah, I don't feel that way at zero. At reference in my room, which is relative, is the same thing, right?
Which so is the same thing, yeah.
I go to zero and I'm like, I'm not gritting my teeth. Now, some movies sound way louder. Like, you're like, wow, that was mastered louder. And then other movies, you'd be like, oh, okay, this is just, it's just normal. But I do like the idea. I'm like, all right, minus six, we do this. And then it's, and then I feel nice. It feels nice when I go to a stream and I'm like, now I'll go to zero. And you're like, oh, wow, it's closer to the same thing. And it's just, I don't know, a lot of good information, and it's, hot button topic. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Is he does he master major, you know, like major releases, or is he mainly music, or is he
he's done everything. He's done everything. He's been in the industry for years. He's done, as he said, like movies, television, mostly music. He's in the middle of building a house with a studio in the basement. He's putting a huge studio in the basement so that he can just work from home, which is insane. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Fun guest. No, definitely.
Great guy.
Yeah. Great information.
Yeah, absolutely.
So are you going to personally stick with minus six, or are you thinking about?
Probably. Yeah. Cause I just, like I said, I like the idea that I have a reason for it, more of a reason for it than just knowing, like, this is what I was always told to do. Now, granted, it is, Paul said, you know, he did some research, so there is information behind this more than just being told what to do. You know what I mean? Like, just knowing my receipt. Now I feel like I know what my receiver's doing. I know what they were doing on the mastering side, and the, you know, where the intentions came from and what the gap is. Yeah. So I feel like I have more information, and that's what I've always been about anyways. Right. And it reminds me of back in like the 90s when I was told to, when I calibrated my television for the first time, and it was like, you're going to have to get used to it because it's going to seem dull. It's going to seem dim.
Which it does.
Yeah. If you're not used. Yeah, exactly. If you're not used to a calibrated television, and I was just talking to my friends yesterday on the 4th, and I'm like, I can come over and I can calibrate this up for you decently. Cause it's all, he goes, at night, he has the automatic settings on and stuff. And he goes, he loses all his black level detail at night because it just dims everything down, but it's just crushing after that. Right. And I go, oh, I could set it up. I go, you might not like it. You're going to be like, because he's got Vivid there on or whatever. And it's like, I go, you're going to feel like it's dim, but for critical viewing, I'd put it on whatever, you know, whatever I calibrate it to, just do that. And he's like,
sure.
All right. But I've done that for people, and they're like, I don't like it. Can you make it brighter?
Oh,
like,
totally. Yeah. Yeah. They want those crisp whites. You know, it's just
crisp whites that when you put a grayscale on it, it's crisp white from like 60 to 100.
Right.
One long rectangle of white. And you're like, what the hell happened there?
I know. Yeah. So it's just on a little side tangent. We were on vacation on the Jersey Shore a couple of weeks ago, and this house has just been renovated. So they had brand new TVs in this place. And we turned the TV on to watch a movie the first night we were there. And I was like, you guys are going to have to give me a couple minutes. I just couldn't take.
Yeah.
You know, interpolation was on. It was like in the Vivid mode. It was everything that all of us would just cringe at. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I just,
it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long. You know what? I use the Apple TV. When I go to a hotel, I connect my Apple TV, and I actually use the phone and Apple TV to get everything as close, because it doesn't touch the television, obviously. It just takes the TV, and whatever the TV is doing, it tells the Apple TV, adjust it to this.
Right.
Okay. And then bang.
Yeah.
And I have a travel Apple TV that I use, and it works great.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty high level.
Not really.
Travel Apple TV. Do you have a little case for it? You like
Yeah, the Apple TV case that it came in.
Oh, you need a case that's like padded on the inside with little locks on the outside.
Yeah. I'm not Ethan Hunt. I'm DJ.
Ethan Hunt of the HD world.
Yeah, I used to not be able to use Apple TV. It's only in the last, I think, year they added the update where you can use that. You had to use a Fire Stick because Apple TV, you couldn't get in and put the passwords in. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like it wasn't allowing you into that. You know how in a hotel you got to go into that page and put the code in and stuff. Apple TV updated it, put an update in, so you can do that now. So
right,
but yeah. I like the Apple TV better than the Fire Stick. But yeah, I traveled with one or the other, watching my own TV in wherever I go.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. I haven't even thought of doing that. I just kind of take whatever's given me and.
Yeah, it's, you know. Yeah. No, I like to have my stuff because I like sleep with the TV on, so I like to have my channels on.
Oh, do you really?
Oh, yeah.
Every night?
Every night. Same show, every night. Every now and then I'll change the show. For one period of time, it was on a loop, and it was Avengers. Put that on, and I'd be asleep before the opening scene. And it's not a knock on the movie, it's just... but I yeah, exactly. I do that a while ago. It was, at one point, it was Frasier. Another time, it was Sports Night. I've done it my whole life. Right now, it's Big Bang Theory. Oh, I put it on HBO Max, and it just let it run. And it soothes me. Like, it's something I know, and it's common, and I just right out to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, I do something similar, but I don't listen all night. I have a timer set. To shut off my phone, and I just have a earbud that I just pop in one ear and just kind of lay down. But it's A Few Good Men is my go-to.
Oh, geez. See, I couldn't do that. That would keep me up. That's another one that would, like, I'd be like, oh.
But it's all dialogue, so you don't have to watch, yeah. Right? And
right.
I've heard that movie hundreds and hundreds of times at this point. And, you know, I could wake up in the middle of the night, turn that on, and phew, I'm out in seconds.
Yeah.
But so I get it. I just can't have it on because I do eventually wake up again.
So
and start watching.
This actually goes into like kind of home theater, psychoacoustics. Did you know like your brain actually shuts noises out? And that like they just like you close your eyes at night, your brain actually closes your ears down. And did you know that? And two, have you ever experienced it? So if you didn't know it, you probably didn't even know you experienced it.
Well, yes. I think I know what you're talking about. I've never heard it explained that way, but I have an app that I also use sometimes to go to sleep with, and they have this like hypnosis feature.
Yeah.
And there's like 30 different hypnosis things, and they play like they call it brown noise, and then they have a voice talking. And after a couple minutes, they start to space their words out or their sentences out. And you can feel that shutdown happening.
Coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it's almost like you get surprised back when the voice comes. You can feel, you know, it's almost like somebody shining a bright light in your face and you just kind of go, whoa. And then you feel yourself go back down. So is that what you're
describing? Yes. So it's if you have a ventilation system going that you could audibly hear, that's usually something like when you wake up in the morning or in the middle of the night, or in my case, I'll have the TV on. It's fairly low volume. It's not cranking. It's just enough that you can, if you look at it, you can hear it. Mm-hmm. But you wake up and you'll look at the TV and you'll still just be just waking up and you open your eyes and you look at the TV and I've been able to hear. And then the volume of the TV comes back. Right. You know what I mean? So like
I know that feeling.
You shut it down and, or you're laying there and you don't hear the TV on. Mm-hmm. And then just like you said, in that situation where you hear it, it's like your ears shut everything down. Your brain shuts it all down and just stops deciphering what's coming in. Right. And I was like psychoacoustic type stuff. There's so much stuff going on in there that it's like, it's so much interpretation that you're like, and then when you get into like that reference stuff, I'm like, I love that stuff. I love learning all that because it's not just I was telling my wife earlier, and this gets into calibrating televisions. My wife was looking at me, and her eyes just glazed over. And I was I've like,
seen that before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I was just like, I go, I just love the idea of what we all take for granted is color. And when I learned about color in college, and luckily I never did drugs. Everybody around me was doing them, but I never did them. And this is one of those topics where it's like, sounds like you're on drugs, but all the colors around you, all it is the light reflecting, mm-hmm. right? So you have the full spectrum of light. And I was telling her, like, this blue shirt, I'm like, all the colors are in the shirt. The light is going into the shirt.
Right.
Your eyes are just seeing the reflection of blue off of the shirt. I go, so for all intents and purposes, when you take our brains out of this, nothing has color. Everything's just nothing. Nothing's not anything.
It's she a was little like, scary to think about it that way. You know, it's just so bizarre.
It is. It is. Yeah. And then think of the perspective. We don't see the full spectrum, mm-hmm. right? And then on top of that, how do I know? And I've said this before. I don't know. I think I've said it to you before. How do I know the color red I'm seeing is the color red you're seeing?
Exactly.
Because it's interpretation, right? So it's like, if we could literally switch brains, I'd be like, what happened to your color wheel, dude? right? And it'd be like, but we all just know that when you pick the crayon up, that's red. But if I swap brains, what if I grabbed your crayon and before I read it, it actually looked blue? And I'm like, in your head, this is what you see as red?
That's bizarre. Yeah.
Isn't it? And wouldn't that explain favorite colors? Why everybody has different favorite colors and different? It's like.
It very well could. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't. And again, you can't quantify that. You can never prove that stuff. You can't cut my brain open and go, see, he saw red. It's like it's just interpretation.
Oh, man. It's making me feel a little uncomfortable, DJ, I have to be honest.
All right. Let's get back to home theater. That is to me, I love that part of home theater because that's you get that into, like, that's our interpretation of the colors coming off the screen. That's what art is about. That's why, like, have you seen John Wick 4? How amazing the color scheme is on that movie. It's incredible.
First of all, I think I put on Twitter, I was like, this is reference all the way, that movie. Just so delicious for the eyes. Oh.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
There's a scene in there where he's going into a church. I'm sure you know what it is.
Yeah.
You remember it. I want to paint that. I want to do an oil painting of that and just hang it up. And most people that aren't, you know, they come into the house, into my basement area mm-hmm. and be like, oh, that's a nice painting. Oh, it's from John Wick.
John Wick 4.
John Wick 4, yeah.
Body counts, 385.
that's on the low side. Oh, we got a question here from Decibel Destroy. He did correct himself. I mean, Todd. But he says...
Don.
Yeah. Does Don have a theater room?
Yes.
Yeah, he does. Don does. Would you like to describe your theater room for the people that might not know about your theater room?
I don't know. I mean,
is it even usable right now with that behemoth? Have you put that in yet?
No, it's not in there yet. That's still sitting on the outside. That thing.
We'll talk about that in a minute. That
made
insane.
That made quite the entrance into the neighborhood. Lots of people, because it sat in my driveway for a couple hours. I ended up getting a couple passerbyers who are friends. One's my direct neighbor who's 76 years old to help me move it.
I'm like, what'd you say? Lay down. I'm going to slide this across you.
I'm like, this, I really don't know if you want to be here for this, but, that thing is it's a beast.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's going to take a little time. But yeah, it's a theater room's like 18 by 13 or 14 with like 8 or 9 foot ceilings. And it's got 7 bed layer channels, 8 ceiling channels, and 4 subs.
8 ceiling? I didn't know you went to 8.
Yeah, it has 8.
Last we were talking with 6.
It has 8. But I think the way the processor that I have is running that I think the the front two pairs are matrixed together with an audio mm-hmm. delay. I don't think that it actually processes out to 8 channels. But
so are you still running? Are you running the Trinov or are you running your Storm?
The Storm.
You have a Storm. Yeah, Trinov, you did get a Trinov in.
Yes. Review. Yeah, that's all boxed up. And I just
going back
to finish up. Yeah, the review. Yeah. That was a fun piece of equipment.
Yeah. What'd you think of it? Like, your Storm's no slouch. They're kind of in the same market. No, would you get which Trinov did you get? 16?
The Altitude 16.
16.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Which it's a 16 channel processor, but it can be bumped up to 20. Okay. Internally, you can download something that allows it to output 4 more channels, mm-hmm. Which I didn't do, but, it's, you know, look, if you set that up and then you set up the Storm and you set up other, I mean, you couldn't just walk into a room and be like, that's the Trinov, that's the Storm. Unless you really were keen to how the bass is being processed. I don't think that I could tell the difference.
Right. So
both of them are really good.
Yeah.
The take home for me though was the Trinov, this setup maybe was a little bit easier, because their calibration system requires one measurement with that microphone.
Really?
I don't have it here with me, but,
that's what does it got like 4 heads on it or something?
It looks like a torture device from Dune or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's just this really cool. Yeah. It has 4 microphones. You just put that in your center prime listening position and let it take over, and it calculates height and distance and like all kinds of really intense stuff. And then if, you know, you want to get into the weeds, the amount of tweaking that you can do then on the backside, once you have that information, in your processor is pretty intense, and it's all done there. Whereas Storm uses Dirac, which you have to be connected to the internet.
Okay.
So, anytime you want to, you know, do any direct processing or remeasure or whatever, you have to connect to the internet and it uploads and then it turns away and then it downloads. So, you know, it's a little bit more time intensive. I still think the results are excellent. It's just different. So, aside from that though, they both sound really good. And
yeah,
I just, you know, it's pretty high level stuff. And that Dolby Atmos feature of, now I'm forgetting the name of it, but it's the visualizer, Atmos visualizer. Yeah.
Yes.
Is
I loved that when I saw it, and it took me all of like 10 minutes to go, what am I going to do with that? You know, so like, at first it seems like something that you're like, this is going to be awesome. And then how often are you going to use it after that? It's like, unless I don't know. It was fun. It was cool to see you using it. And then what was the movie that you, was it Maverick that had like nothing? Like there was something that you.
Yes. Yeah. And I thought it turns out that was an error on my end. I think Maverick, somebody hit me up and said, hey, I am making a video. This guy, I believe he's over in Europe, hit me up privately. He was like, hey, you know, I watched the video. You know, we were comparing notes a little bit. And he was like, I saw that tweet about Maverick, but I have a different experience on my end. I went back and checked, and I don't know what had happened, but there must have been some sort of error in the system.
Oh,
it didn't do it right. So rest assured, your Maverick is safe.
Yeah, but see, you know what I liked about that, though, was the fact that we wouldn't say that it held to be true and it wasn't some, you know, a glitch.
Mm-hmm.
You could still get a great experience, right? It's like you don't need Atmos or DTS:X to get a fantastic experience. You can get it with just talk to Christopher Nolan, you know?
You really can. It's, you know, the one thing that I did like about it, especially with that movie Devotion.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet, but I've heard great things about the home theater experience.
It's the attention to detail on their side, that they, the, you know, the passion that they put into making that is incredible. I mean, it's, you know, I'm sure if you saw in the video, that was like my kind of my number one movie that I ran through in terms of the amount of Atmos content that's dynamically encoded. And it's just insane how much is going on in those scenes. So I have an appreciation from that regard. You know, it's kind of like going to a museum and seeing a painting on the wall and you're like, that took 50 years to paint. You know, like all of a sudden you might say, okay, that's unique. It took a lot more time than the guy over there that threw some paint on a canvas over a period of 2 hours. Not that they're good or bad, but it just makes you appreciate it in a different way. But
but that's what I love that about that, like the stuff that we're doing, that like, just because this is what we like to do, we build these theaters and then this comes, then we get to meet people and talk about it. But there was something there that we wanted to build a theater or have recreate what we had at the theaters. And we are, everybody knows we're just such a small percentage, such a small community anyways. But that's what these are. They're working for us. They're sitting there plugging away, putting these details in, and there's very, very few people that are ever going to notice these details.
Yes.
You know, and we're the lucky ones that we're not lucky. I mean, we worked at it and we did it one way or the other. We have a theater that can pull out these details, but they're not going to be hung up in a museum. They're not going to be, it's us. And there was a quote in, not a quote, but I heard Ron Howard say it in one of the clips of him talking behind the scenes of Apollo 13. And he was talking about maybe the takeoff or something. And he's like, I'm doing this for the home theater. We love doing this for the home theater people. And really? Like, I almost started crying. Yeah. I was like, he's doing it for me, you know, because you're like, but to hear that from like a Ron Howard, right? Yeah. And it's like, I want to find that so I can get it to it. But that's like the gist of what he was saying.
Because gets it. Yeah.
Yeah. They all do. They have to. That poor guy, those people putting those details in there, they have to know that it's going only for people like us, right? It's like, even in the theaters, that's not the same as what we experience. And most people don't even know what they're experiencing in the theaters anyways.
And you have to assume they look at the finished product and see all sorts of errors, right? Mistakes that just make them cringe. But we normally don't see that. I see SRW1000. I believe that is Scott from the forum says that we are in a golden age of home theater. I totally agree. And they did hit it out of the park with John Wick. I only wish that John Wick was, how can I say this? And I don't want to turn this into a gun debate, but just, I wish it wasn't centered so much around violence. And I say that because I love watching the movies. I really enjoy them.
Yeah.
But with a lot of the stuff that's been going on recently, there is a part of me that just, you know, I look at it and I'm like, oh, you know, I just wish they could have done John Wick in a slightly different way, but I don't know how you could do it in a different way.
Right.
Because it's John Wick, right?
Well, it's just like, I mean, look at the 80s movies and you hear, I going through Terminator 2 the other day, you're hearing quotes, you know, Arnold was all upset because he wasn't going to kill anybody in Terminator 2. And he's like, I'm the Terminator. What are you doing? He wanted to kill more people in 2 than he did in the first one because he wanted to outdo Stallone in his latest movie. So it was like, and it's that, you know, but you're right. You look at the real world and you're like, what are they doing? But at the same time, that's what going to the movies is about, right? Yeah. You know, like, I mean, it's a separation and that's part of like what Steve and I were talking about yesterday about that movie Hijack. And he was like, it was just so unrealistic how they hijacked the plane. I'm like, because you're not. Yeah, you don't want realism there because you'd be afraid to get on a plane if you thought it was at all plausible, right? So it's like you need that separation from reality. And it's like, I mean, if you make a sci-fi movie, you can do whatever you want. You can blow up a whole planet and everybody's like, oh, wow, did you hear that explosion?
Right.
But it's like, because it's a separation of reality. Mm-hmm. John Wick is like, this is crazy. This is no, that would never happen. That's the point. That's not reality. And, you know, it's a fine line. They seem to have gone way over it, but it's like, it's comics, it's cartoons, it's whatever you want to call it, but
it's true. I mean, it's very pervasive in our culture. And I don't think it would bother me as much if we weren't having these mass shootings all the time, because they, you know,
I don't think one has anything to do with the other, though. You know, that's the thing. It's
not for us, not for you and I and most sane people. Mm-hmm. You worry about the people who it does, you know,
right.
They, you know, whatever. But anyway, I love that movie. I can't wait to watch it again, despite, you know,
I love things going boom in my theater.
I know, man. That one, you know, yesterday I watched The Covenant for the first time. Have you seen The Covenant?
Yes. That's my favorite movie of the year so far.
Yeah. I think that one's pretty good. I mean, gorgeous. That's another one. Visually just.
Isn't it?
Stunning. It sounded amazing. Yes. The pacing of it was really good.
How about those shots? Just the idea, the tone of the shot, but then when he was actually, you have Jake Gyllenhaal in the like Humvee or in the Jeep and he's talking to him, but you don't see Jake Gyllenhaal, but you hear him behind you.
Yeah.
But you see him in the mirror and what becomes his interpreter, and the positioning of the sound of their voices is perfect, but you're seeing Gyllenhaal on the left, you know, left center of your screen in a reflection in the mirror, but his voice is slightly to the side and behind you where it should be, because he's actually, you know what I mean? Back it up after you're done oohing and ahhing at the audio, back it up and look at the background, look at the tones, look at everything, the cinematography on that shot. And you're like, what the hell? And that's why I'm like, that movie to me, it blew me away. I wasn't expecting that. I had rented it on Kaleidoscape and it was a mistake. I didn't know. I thought I just bought it because at that price, but I think it was like a $29.99, what do they call it? Something rental, the premiere rental.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't for sale yet. You thought you were buying it, but you actually rented it.
Yeah. I rented it at $29.99 and then went to watch it again. And they're like, no, you're done. I was like, son of a.
Did you get the shakes? Were you like, I need to see it again.
I need my covenant. I need to see it again. I want to see, I almost rented it again for $30. And I was like, nope. I'll wait. And then as soon as it came, every day I was checking, when's it going up? And I just bought it right away. But that movie blew me. The story is amazing. The picture is amazing from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then the audio. And I'm like, I was trying to think of another movie that I would put ahead of it this year. And I can't. Not yet, anyways.
No. So. Yeah. No, I agree. When did Wick get released? Was that... That was earlier this year.
It came out in like March.
Yeah.
It came out in March. And then it obviously just came out in 4K and stuff on disc recently.
Right. Okay. That's not the one I'm thinking of then. Let me see. What did I watch? Sisu.
Yep. Saw that too.
You like that. I didn't like it as much as
Steve thinks he jokes, but he's like, that's movie of the year. But at Sisu's actually 2022. But yeah, that I liked it, but it's a crazy horror movie type John Wick meets, you know, the Nazis.
It was a little like, it was like a poor man's Tarantino.
Yeah.
Film. I don't know. There was something about it where I was kind of like, I've seen this before. You know, it's kind of Inglourious Bastards ish, but not as the dialogue just wasn't nearly as convincing. I know Michael Scott, our reviewer,
yep.
on the site, loved it. He thought it was his movie of the year. So
really?
Who am I to say? Yeah, for whatever reason, I just kind of, I watched it. I was like, oh, there was a couple scenes that I enjoyed, but in general, it was not doing it for me. So,
yeah, it's not like I don't put it up there with Covenant because the Covenant, because like that's, it's just two completely different movies. Covenant is actually like based in reality. It's a, like, a, it's actually a good story. It's like, I mean, you're, it's actually, when you watch it, it's two different movies, right? You have the first hour and then the last hour, and you're like, you're engrossed in throughout. But Sisu's just like, okay, I think what's it, an hour and a half long, something like that.
Really,
it's just
short. Yeah.
And it's just insanely ridiculous, you know, and just ridiculous. Gory.
Throwing landmines and
jumping on the side of a plane or whatever.
Yeah. When he was hanging off the back of the plane.
Yeah.
With his, was it a sledgehammer or an axe or something that he had? I mean,
So, it's entertaining.
It was I was hoping for more out of that one.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't. I, pretty much what I expected. I was like, oh, okay. It's an artistic take on something.
Yeah.
I don't know. but yeah, let's that behemoth in your driveway. Let's tell everybody about that. When do we get to hear about when's that going in, and tell everybody what it is?
Well, it's okay. So it's a infrasonic subwoofer made by a company called Ascendo. They're a German manufacturer, and it has a 30. They have four different models that they make. And I have to say
bigger and biggest.
Yeah, exactly. This particular model, Sutherland AV marketing group, Todd Sutherland has been instrumental in helping get this over. He's the distributor in North America for Ascendo. So shout out to Todd. He's been a lot of fun to work with, but they shipped this thing out. It's got a 32 inch driver. So, it's big. It's a big, I think the cabinet is 47 inches high. It weighs 350 pounds and it came in a shipping crate that the shipping weight of this thing was like 456 pounds.
Now,
it's pretty ridiculous.
You had to have a 220 wired into your room.
Correct. So the back of the room is wired up for it. It's all set to go. Just waiting on a couple things to finish up so I can move a lot of things around and fit that in. I'm taking out the two subs that are in the back of my room and replacing them with SVS SB16s. So the back of the room right now has these Power Sound Audio dual 15 inch driver subs. So it's dual posed 15 inch drivers. It's actually, it was one of their first two models that they made back in the day. I want to say that was probably eight years ago now. So those are going because the subs all need to match, in order for the crossover from the infrasonic sub to the subs to really work correctly.
The crossover at, what's it crossover at, like 10?
It's like 20, like, it's like 20 or 25.
Oh, okay. So it crosses over that high and it takes everything down. I've heard, it's funny. Keith Yates talking about this a bunch and getting down to the, you're starting to hear more and more about it. And
yes,
I mean, when you met them or something at last year's CEDIA, right?
Something I did. Yeah. And I had them on a live episode.
Yeah.
AV Nirvana Live last year, I think it was, but yeah, I went to a showroom in Dallas that had a Keith Yates designed demo room in it. It wasn't built from the ground up Keith Yates, but he came and retrofitted a room that was already there and made it into his own space. So, So infrasonics are starting to become a thing. And I guess we'll find out if it's worth it or not. I think it's going to be.
I think it is. It's one of those. It's just another piece of the puzzle that you're like, all right, when you hear people talk about it, and it's, I mean, for guys like myself and you, if you didn't have this one here, but it's like, we're probably 10 years away from this being,
it could be,
you know what I mean? 10, it's one of those things that's going to be crazy expensive, ridiculous. The technology will change. They'll probably be able to do it in a different way. Maybe not as, they'll find a way to make it cheaper or something, mm-hmm. but even more adaptable to a room. I mean, basically what it sounds like you have is like, okay, I can have this in my room, but then I can't be in there. So what are you going to do?
Right, so, exactly.
Yeah, you should hear what's going on in my room. I hear it's really good. I've never been in there myself, but
they've got a 24 inch. I think it's 24 inches. The 32, a 40 or 50 inch driver, and then an 80 inch. So they get bigger and bigger and bigger. Originally, we were talking about the 24, but they just didn't have anything that they were going to be able to ship over because their stock was all going out to customers.
That's good.
Yeah. So they were moving a lot of those, and they were like, well, let's see if we can get this in there. So, it's going to go behind my seats. There's mm-hmm. not a whole lot of room back there.
Yeah.
And they said that's fine. They didn't want it to go in the front of the room. They wanted it in the back of the room.
That's good.
So, I know. Yeah, it's just
green.
I know. I know. It would have been a real problem. I don't think it could have worked. Now, the 24 could have fit in the front, but I would have had to orient it on its side. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking forward to getting it in there. Todd. Matt Trinkline.
That's
with
you.
Exactly. Should I start talking about myself in the third person? Yeah. Todd likes bass. So Matt Trinkline and the owner of Ascendo are both going to hop online with me on a live call, and we're going to integrate it together. So, you know, I have to bring in some people who know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And Matt is just a tremendous, knowledgeable guy. You'll probably meet him at Cedia. He's always there with the Storm Group. Mm-hmm. He was at Wisdom Audio before being with Storm Audio, and he does all of their remote calibrations and everything. He's really, really smart guy. And Jeffrey, who owns Ascendo, is going to have to be on there to kind of help Matt talk through some of the specs for setting this up. So it's going to be interesting. I hope it sounds incredible. And then we'll take off with some bass hunter stuff with that.
Yeah. A lot of what I'm hearing about it is it's not going to sound incredible. It's going to feel incredible.
It's going to
feel because it's everything you're getting is below human hearing, but it takes your room to another, like, it's just, it's the feel that you're going to get that. Mm-hmm. And there are tracks that have that, like listening to, you know, Keith Yates talk about it. And more important, it was actually, I can't remember what the gentleman's name was that does their installs and stuff. And he's talked, but they're referencing different movies that have like 5 Hertz in the track. And they're
correct.
Like, oh yeah, you get to this and you put this track on and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh man. And it's, I love that stuff. You know, it's like, I don't have it in my room. It doesn't make me want to run to my room and go, yeah, nope. Cause I'm not, there's nothing there. I'm not getting it, but it is still like the future, whatever, potentially can be coming someday, you know?
Sure. Sure. And we're going to do some educational stuff with Ascendo. Because they basically, we're saying, look, you know, even if your subs are rated down to 16, by the time your sub is getting down there, there's a lot of distortion. There's a lot of things that are muddying up because the speaker just can't handle it as competently as it's handling 30 and 40 Hertz and things. So this guy is supposedly able to handle all of that without introducing distortion and things like that. So we'll see if the really the lower end of the 20s is even cleaner. I don't know. Yeah, I just hope I never hear this thing on full blast because it will just blow my house down, literally.
Well, some of, I was also hearing that it's, but I'm also hearing the power draw too. That, that it's like, it can only take, like for certain scenes, they can only get down so low, even in the, even the audio being delivered to it when they're mastering this stuff, they know it's like, it wouldn't be able to draw enough power if you made it last too long or if it had to do too much work. It would actually like, it would just die out. It's, it, it would, you know what I mean? It's kind of like what you were saying about, the subs getting to 16 hertz. This thing doesn't have a problem at that end. It's actually getting the power to it to be able to move that. And it's
right.
There's so much that goes into these things that when you're into those high end theaters, they're like, yeah, we've got multiple lines of electricity. You know, they've, it's crazy.
It's nuts. Yeah. This, so they had said, look, you can do this off a 110 line, but we really want you to go 220, which luckily I, after our renovation, we had a 220 line that was down here. You can't see, but right over here is a doorway into my workshop. And this line was just dangling and tied up. It was tied off in a box, but it was just dangling down behind the shelving. And I had my electrician, this awesome guy that lives about 2 minutes away from me. He's done a ton of work down in my home theater for me. I called him up and I'm like, I need you to come look at this. And he was able to run that with very minimal cutting of walls and stuff to the back of my theater room. So it's, this thing has a 6,000 watt amp on it.
Jesus.
I mean, that's just crazy to think.
Your pinball machines are going to dim.
The whole neighborhood's like,
it'll be like from Christmas Vacation. Like, oh, Todd's watching Interstellar again.
Right. Oh yeah. I mean, that's one of them that I want to definitely, investigate and see what's going on. But, it's going to be exciting. You know, I've tried to explain to my wife that it's all going to be calibrated in a way that this thing is not going to blow you away when it's on.
Right.
It's kind of like a Ferrari where you're going 25 miles an hour most of the time, but you know,
But when you want to goose it, it's going to goose it for you. It's going to hit that low. It's actually just going to fill in. Your room isn't going to get any louder. It's not like you're going to be like, you know, from the, you know, what is it, Maxell commercial. It's nothing like that. It's just all of a sudden you're going to be like, wow, there's a little something extra here that I'm feeling that I never felt before.
That's the plan. Yeah. The plan is not to have walls crack, foundation crack.
That could happen. You might hear rattles you never heard before.
That's exactly right.
You know,
I'm sure, because I do not have a room within a room type of situation.
You may.
I might have a house on top of on top of myself. Mike Gray, explaining to the wife is always the fun part, right? It is.
Sorry, honey.
I don't know about you guys. Like you were saying earlier, where the eyes just kind of gloss over. That's, I mean, my wife doesn't really want to talk about home theater stuff to that level.
No, definitely not. The only time it was like early on for me anyways, was just the money, right? And it was, what are you spending on and what did you get now? And you learn early on, it's like, if I can just get it into the house and into the rack, she won't even know. And by the time she notices, if she notices, oh, I've had that a while. Okay. Yeah. So if we've had it a while, we survived the purchase. Right. You know, not like, I didn't tell you we couldn't eat this week. I didn't say anything like that. Right. We've had it a while.
And you're at the
a while
bank.
Might have been 3 hours.
Right. Yeah. But, yeah. I would never, well, let me take that back. I'll never say never, but this is not something that I would probably have purchased on my own just to play around with. Just because the price, it's like 37,000, I think.
Yeah.
It's pretty up there. So,
yeah. For a few hertz.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what I'm really curious to see. Like, what do you get out of it?
If you have soggy pant legs, it's going to dry them for you. That's about it. I was like, oh.
It's going to look either absolutely incredible or absolutely ridiculous in the
ridiculously back. Incredible. Let's go with that.
I think so.
I can't wait. I can't. Yeah. When's the time on that? When do you think it's going to be installed?
Hopefully by mid-July.
Oh, a couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it's going to be sooner than later. But a lot of it depends on when Matt is going to be free. Yeah. So he's a busy guy.
Yeah, that's. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. How long are you keeping it for? Or are you keeping this thing?
Well, it's here on a long-term loan.
Just because of the size of it, really.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we'll run it as long as it's producing useful content.
Yeah. Keep making that content.
keep it running. Yeah, no, I think it's really awesome that they wanted to do this. They reached out to me. They saw the Top Gun. Yeah. Top Gun Base Hunters and Jeff, Jeffrey, the owner of Ascendo, reached out to me and said, "Hey, do you want to have a chat?" I was like, "Sure." And we had met before, but we had never, discussed doing anything like this. So I was definitely interested when they first brought it up. I'm like, "Wow, I don't know if I have the space for that." And the more we talked, they're like, "Yeah, it's fine. It will work." So,
You could get it in there, but it's, you're losing real estate if you're going to host a bunch of people for a party or something.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's going in a place that nobody ever would have been in anyway. So here's a fun little backstory on this thing. And I think I maybe had told you this, but, it's made over in Germany and they shipped it over here. And when it got here to New York City, they had it at, Sutherland Marketing's northeastern distributor area, like in Connecticut or something like that. Whoever was delivering it from the ship to their warehouse dropped it too fast, and the feet drove up through the bottom of the cabinet. That's how heavy this thing is.
Yeah.
So this has actually been in the U.S. since like January.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, we need to figure out how we're going to repair this. And I was, they talked about all these different ideas. I was like, whatever you guys got to do, you got to do. And so what they ended up doing is putting this really nicely finished board, affixed to the bottom. It's all drilled and glued, and they did all this testing. The thing is airtight. It's as good as new. It just doesn't have the little peg feet on the bottom. You can't even tell, honestly, if you walked in the room and saw it right now. You wouldn't say like, oh, it looks like they repaired it. It looks like it's seamless. I mean, they painted it and did everything they needed to do to fix it. But that's pretty intense. When they told me the feet drove up to the bottom of it, that's when I looked up the weight. I was like, oh, well, no wonder. Yeah, when you set down 350 pounds fast, it's going
to... Quickly. Yeah. It's going to... That's a lot. Yeah.
Somebody screwed up.
Oops. Well, it could have been as simple as a fork truck or something. The pinch truck didn't know if whatever they were moving it with, and it just not good. But and it's not something you can just send to your local like hi-fi shop to get repaired.
No, I mean, it's so true. Oh, I wish you could feel the surround on the driver. It is this thick. I mean, when you touch the driver and try and push it, you can't move it. It's so rigid. The rubber.
I wouldn't
on it,
even try. Why did you? I can't believe you did. I'd be afraid. Like, I don't want to damage it.
It's like an attractive nuisance. You're just like, do I touch it? Okay, I'll touch it. And I just wanted to see if that rubber was loose and the driver had a little give, but no, that thing is, it what almost
if you put
feels
your finger through it.
Oh my God. I'm telling you, this thing, the driver is so rock solid, and that rubber surround, the rubber's got to be that.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. So I'm sure when this thing really gets moving, if somebody pushes it hard, it's got to be able to, the motor on the back end, the magnet's got to weigh 150 pounds.
It's going to be dancing across your room.
I've thought about that. I wonder if You know, if
like,
without
this is great,
just blows through the back wall.
Catch that.
Oh, it's classic. Yeah. I mean, so here's what happened. Do you want to keep talking about this or do you want to?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it came.
Why would we not want to talk about something like nobody I know has? Yes. I want to keep talking about it.
So it was like R&L Carriers or whoever it was. They brought it. And I hear the truck with it had like the lift on the back. You know, the guy's bringing it down. And luckily he had a motorized, lift. What are those things called? Dolly, jacks.
Yeah, yeah,
pallet
yeah.
Jack. It's motorized pallet jack. Truck.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it had a little motorized electric, you know, movement mechanism. So he was able to kind of get it uphill and get it onto the driveway. He got it up and he like set it down. He's like, what the hell is this? I was like, oh, it's a subwoofer. His eyes. He was like, a what? A subwoofer?
That actually, I remember back in the 90s when I first started it and you heard the word subwoofer and you're like, that's just big. That's like, you know, you got Velodyne, it was something, especially the tech back then. It was, they hadn't even come up with the little cubes yet or anything. It was just, you just knew big and it's subwoofer to you meant huge.
Yeah.
Doesn't that feel like an inadequate term for this? Like it's like
totally
subwoofer sounds like, yeah, that actually this is a subwoofer over here. This is the woofer over here.
Yeah, this is like, just, I guess infrasonic is the right way to go with it. But yeah, I mean, you saw the photograph of it with the SVS SP16 sitting next to it. They look like little cubes. It's almost silly.
You texted me the pictures in your driveway too. And it was like,
it's like the box was as tall as my Ford Expedition.
That's what I said. I'm like, a white Expedition.
I
was like,
I know.
It made it look like an Explorer.
It was.
It's as tall as the Expedition.
It was just huge. Yeah. So I was sitting there looking at it like, okay. Because we were getting ready to leave on vacation. And,
put a tarp on it.
I was like, what do I do with this thing? I really wanted to get it inside. I didn't want to put it into our garage. So that's when my older neighbor came over. He wanted to help. And I'm like, I mean, I love the help, but I just was more worried about him. I didn't want him to get hurt.
Yeah.
But what I ended up doing was I tipped, you know, because I got a lot of experience moving heavy stuff around. These machines behind me are anywhere from 280 to 350 pounds each. So, you know, you get used to getting creative with using your body weight and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially they had the sub was on a pallet, a thick kind of styrofoam pad was drilled into the pallet. Okay, screwed into the pallet, affixed to the pallet, and the sub was sitting on top of that. And then the box was slid down over top of the sub, and that had padding on the inside. So I instantly clipped the straps. I didn't realize that the box, right?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden,
metal straps.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I clipped those
banded
off.
Together. Yep.
And, all of a sudden, I was like, okay, well, now the box on the top can wiggle and the speaker can wiggle, but the platform and the foam on the bottom, the styrofoam on the bottom is affixed. You know, it's just sitting there. So what I ended up doing was I tipped the sub down onto its back with the box, but left the crate on the ground, right? Does that make sense?
Right. Yep.
And then we moved the crate and then put some cardboard down the ground and then lifted the sub back up on top of the cardboard. And that allowed me to get my Escalera. It's this motorized, dolly that I have, that has these special attachments called the big wheels, which really came in handy. It allowed me to get that under there and get it strapped onto the dolly. So then we basically had the sub with the box, you know, still protecting it, strapped on to the dolly. And then luckily another guy walked by. He'd just finished working out or something. He was like, you guys need help? Yes.
The 76-year-old guy's under it. No, we're good.
Right. So, and what you can't see is my house. You know, we have our house, and then our yard goes down.
Yeah.
And you can either go down a hill that's paved, or you can go down some grass and mulch around to the back of our house with doors into the basement.
So you have a walk-in basement.
Yeah.
A walk-out basement in the back.
Walk-out basement. Yeah. And the doors, because of these games, when we renovated our house, I had to put double doors in because it used to be a single door, and that was a total nightmare getting games in and out, because we're talking about like very little tolerance. Yeah. So we got it down the grassy side in the mulch, and that really helped slow it down and keep it under control. And then the escalator was able to walk it up the steps into the basement. So it wasn't that bad once I figured out that we're going to get this down, get the, you know, the pallet off of it and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then we got it into the house and they all left. And I went away on vacation. When I came home, I took the top of it. Actually, maybe I took the top of it off before I left, but I quickly realized that it was so big that when I lifted the box up, it hit the ceiling. So I had to tilt the whole speaker again and lift the box off and then get the speaker. I did that all by myself. I was like, I was not going to call my wife down and say, hey, I need some help. And then it's just kind of sat there since, just waiting patiently. But it's pretty intimidating.
I bet. And so how do you, I've talked to you about this before, but how do you like maintain calmness? You get all these pieces in that's sitting there, and it's like, yeah. I'd be like, I just be bugging out. I admire what you do, all the reviews you do, the equipment you get in, and then it has to go back out. And it's like, how do you maintain like a levelness of being like, I mean, you have your system, but you're going to add this, and whenever it is, it's going away someday. And then how do you do that? How do you manage that?
It's this part of it is just the stress, at least for me, of the things that I haven't done yet. You know, I have a whole bunch of equipment waiting. Mm. So I think about that and the new stuff that comes, it's very easy to just mentally just put that aside and forget about it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it goes. You know, right now I'm thinking about HDMI cables. I've got thousands of dollars of cables the company have sent me that I'm, you know, getting ready to start filming all of those episodes and getting that stuff ready to go. And I've got some headphones and the brand new LX805 Pioneer Elite receiver is getting ready to get installed here. So, you know, it's just kind of like my head just is thinking about that and how I'm going to work that into my days of also covering the industry and taking care of emails and website stuff. And it's a lot. It takes a lot of time to manage, to juggle all these.
Yeah. And then still, you know, be able to enjoy movies.
It's tough to sometimes. Yeah.
I know. You say it all the time to us. You're like, you'll be like, how do you like, I saw you just said it recently to Steve. Like, I don't get to watch what you like. Steve watches a lot. Right.
And it's like, watches a lot. Hats off to him.
And it's different, but I mean, but hats off to you because you're doing the work so that other people don't have to. We could just read your efforts and then we don't have to do that. We can just watch the content or listen to headphones, but you're doing all that work. But then you still do have a theater and you still do enjoy movies.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
I know you do. And
I love it.
It's amazing you can do the two. I could never do it. I you know, we've talked about, I'm like, I don't want to do reviews. I like doing what I do. I'll talk about the experience and because that's what I
am a little jealous of that. I mean, but you know, I also kind of work by my own clock. I'm sure some of my good PR friends out there would tell you that there's times where they get a little frustrated where they're like, hey,
yeah,
let's pick it up a little bit. But you know, just for my own sanity, that's how I am. I just kind of plod along and get her done. I wish I had more time to give to it, but I don't. So that's, you know, and also DJ, it's baseball season. So I watch baseball, you know, a lot of my movie watching during baseball season just nosedives because I'm watching games every day.
Yeah.
So that's my priority. When I sit down at mm-hmm. night, if I have an hour and a half, I turn on the O's. That's my, you know,
yeah,
my go-to thing. So, yeah, you know, that ends around usually in September, but hopefully in October this year. And
yeah, we were
sometimes
done a week
it's
ago.
July. What's that?
Yeah, we were done a week ago.
You guys,
sucks. Actually, I don't follow it like I used to. I was just saying this the other day to my buddies. I'm like, I'm hoping that when my house is done and I'm done with any, you know, any extracurricular stuff I'm doing, maybe a year from now, I'll be able to watch baseball. We were actually talking about soccer and stuff and being like, I love soccer. I played mm-hmm. soccer. But to me, it's never been one on TV because I don't have that kind of time to just relax and do. I'm like, I've got stuff to do. And I'm hoping to get to that point. And baseball's like that. Baseball's like, you could sit down, you relax. It's like, and I know I said this to you before, but you can nod off, you wake up, you didn't really miss much. You know, like, oh, okay, there's a score, and you just keep on going. And it's like, I loved it when my kids were really little and I was stuck and had to watch them. Mm-hmm. I could keep an eye on them and enjoy the game and relax at the same time. And I just haven't been able to do that.
Yeah. For me, it's just this soap opera that builds every day. Cause I, you know, watch so intently. I study stats. Like I spend a lot of time on baseball studying up everything. And, you know, I just get to know the players and their tendencies and their flaws. I don't really like reading articles written about games and things. Cause the article's already in me. I already know the storyline cause I'm watching every single day. So for me, every day when it's getting close to game time, I'm like, oh, I wonder who, you know, I wonder how so-and-so is going to respond. You know, they've been down for the last couple of weeks. You know, they've been having some trouble with, you know, two strike swings. And like, you know, it's just, I get really deep into the weeds to the point where when I can't see a game, I get really agitated. It's really sad. Yeah.
Are they playing right now?
They're playing the Yankees. They're playing the Yankees tonight, but I'm okay taking a little break because they're on a little bit of they've lost six out of their last seven. But they're still hanging on to second place in the division. They're still leading the wild card, but I think they're just going through some growing pains. They're young, very young team. So just, you know, but
I've been there I did all that with hockey years ago. I was big into that and same thing. Can't miss a game. Can't do. And you just, I had to step away. I just got too emotional about everything. And it's like,
oh, yeah,
you know, it's hard because you get so invested. And then when things don't go right, you're like, and then you're like, and you get nervous.
It can be
things
very frustrating.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, you're an athlete also. So, you know, you can internalize it, right? Because you know what is probably going through the players' heads. Well, at least what you hope. Probably they're thinking about like, what am I going to eat for dinner? You know,
well,
are
that
you
was,
able to it, sleep in tomorrow?
Well, that was like one of the things about Manny Ramirez when he was here. And people used to get so frustrated because he'd be like, you know, he'd hit it and it'd be the second baseman would bobble it. And they'd be like, if he just hustled down the line, he might have been safe. And like, look at him. And he's just like, oh, well, I screwed up. And he doesn't right. even care. Right.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, or
Manny
I think it
being
was like,
Manny.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was that mentality that a lot. Have you seen his career average? Have you seen? He doesn't care. And that's what made him great is he didn't care like we all did. Like everybody gets angry.
It's a good life lesson, I think, not to get too high on the highs and too low right. on the lows. And, you know, I think a lot like we were just talking about with, you know, the stress level of having products waiting to be reviewed and people asking you where they are and PR folks reaching out and saying, hey, I've got a story for you. And, you know, it's, you know, you do just kind of stay even keel. If something passes, it passes. You know, if a month goes by and you still haven't gotten to something, what can you do? Yeah. You know, you can't.
Yeah. That's what I'm learning. And it's because like I get so excited to take stuff on. And like we were saying about doing, you know, HT tours, and I'm like, and I got to get to it. But at the same time, you got to be, it's like, I just can't, I gotta get stuff done. And when I get to it, I'll get to it. And
yeah,
it's, you just gotta pace yourself. It's not like I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly.
You know, one thing, I did want to talk to you about, and this is something that's been kind of not bugging me, but let's, and you don't even know what this is yet. You saw it in the note, but
I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, no. I think it'll be a good discussion. Speaking of Keith Yates and the types of theaters that he does, right? And it's like, I mean, he's achieving what he perceives as perfection. That's what they're going for.
Yeah.
You know, and there are some detractors. They think that it's like, it's crazy. And it's like, he won't even talk about anything under whatever or this and that. But listening to the specs, listening to what they're going for and the perfection that they're trying to drive and every single little detail that actually matters. And then when you think about, they're still talking about the same content we're talking about, right? They're still talking about like a 4K Blu-ray or a Kaleidoscape or something, right? They're not getting some special cut. They're spending upwards of, you know, sometimes $1 million more on these theaters because it's built from the ground up, like you said, for perfection in every single way, like from the materials used on the walls and all of that goes into the experience that they're trying to provide. And that's what I love hearing when you hear them talk about it and stuff, and the experience that they're trying to provide. And it's all about that.
Yes.
And what I found about it is like, some people don't like that. Some people don't want to hear about stuff that's outside their stratosphere because they're just like, oh, no, I've always been like, I don't think I could ever achieve that stuff, but it's fun to dream. Much like the infrasonic sub, right? Yep. So, you know, like I said, 20 years ago, I dreamt of a Kaleidoscape and they come back down to Earth. Believe it or not, I mean, a lot of people like, they came down to Earth? Yeah, they used to be like your infrasonics. They were more expensive than that, actually. But my point with the Keith Yates stuff in those types of theaters, you were lucky. I've never been in a Keith Yates theater, but I've been in some spectacular theaters, and it's this stuff. Now here's where the bombshell comes in. We need to realize at our level, when we're talking about these little tiny things, how far away we are from perfection. And then when we're getting all like into the weeds over -6 dB on reference level, and you're fiddling with every little detail that you can possibly fiddle with. We're still like so far away from perfection.
Right.
Doesn't mean we shouldn't fiddle. I'm not trying to say that, but sometimes we lose focus on just sit down and enjoy the movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're fiddling with something and you're like, this is going to make it perfect. No, it's not.
It's like, not perfect. Like a $2 million theater that's been installed appropriately. Right.
Right. There's so much more that you can do. And it's like, and like with all your experiences, all the stuff that you've tested, it's like, I know you have a grasp of that. I just think a lot of the listeners, a lot of people don't like, you think like you're top of the line, that JVC, what is it? The 30th anniversary, whatever the anniversary one is, right?
Yep. 25th.
And the 25th anniversary. And they're like, that thing is awesome. It just blows everything away. I'm like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's like, I've said this to people, like, that's the top of the line of entry level.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It blows everything away. That's $30,000 and under.
Right.
To varying degrees, but but it doesn't blow away the $180,000 Barco or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's in those systems that people put in, and and when you see those, it's kind of another level that again, it's almost like you can't quantify it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how to be fair, our systems are really, really good. They are. There's no doubt about it. But there is a whole other level way over us that shouldn't be ignored. It should be admired, watched. And then I think that's why I do appreciate the content more than, and I love to fiddle. I love to tweak and I love to do all of that because that is the fun and to see how much better we can get with what we have. But also keep in mind, it is about the content. It's about we're building for the experience and get out and sit down and experience, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I see Scott saying the Christie Eclipse is truly amazing. And it is truly amazing stuff. Like earlier on when you were talking about minus 6 dB, and I kind of alluded to the, you know, I think the most important thing is to make sure your channels are level set.
Yeah.
And that kind of gets back to that idea that, look, we're not going to ever experience that absolute perfection in a lot of our rooms. And some of you out there are listening to this probably will, or have that at your house, and that's great. But most, 99.9% of people will never be able to afford that kind of experience. But you can still have an amazing experience with an incredibly inexpensive system as long as you take the time to set it up correctly.
Right.
That's it. I mean, you can buy relatively inexpensive Polk Audio speakers and have an AVR that costs $800, go out and buy a Blu-ray player, and you will have a phenomenal experience as long as you take the time to dial in the equipment that you have. You know, that I think that gets lost a lot. You know, we were talking about a $37,000 infrasonic sub. I mean, it's awesome. Yeah. But, you know, there are things that you can do. You can put cheap bass shakers into your chairs and, you know, run them off an old, you know, I did that for years.
Yeah.
It was great. It adds another dimension, right? Of something that you aren't getting out of your,
right,
you know, less than capable subs, you know, but I don't know. So what was your question?
Really a question. It's the discussion. It's the idea of, and what I tell people when they're new into home theater, it's like experience the different stuff and start with, like you said, start with in the Polk audios or whatever. Just start with something. And then because you don't know what you don't know yet. And, but then even, would you get to a level like I've been doing this for over 30 years? And it's like, just keep in mind that I'm never going to get there. Doesn't mean it's the fun's over. It means that it's like, sit down, enjoy, and then try to take in that content and enjoy it for what it is, because that's what this is all here for. It's like, we're doing it for that content. And I think that you go in the forums and that's why I started this podcast. It was most of the home theater stuff is all talking about gear, you know? And it's like, what about what we're doing with the scenes? You know, like, how are you testing all your gear and stuff? And it's like you're doing bass hunters. That's awesome. Because that's, we're taking that, like you said, like, Todd loves bass. That's how you have to open. Right. You have to open the next Bass Hunters with that.
Yep. Oh, that'd be hilarious. Okay. Yeah. Next one's going to be John Wick 4, by the way.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Ugh. Yeah. I'm thinking about dragging the equipment out tomorrow and getting that in Covenant.
Yeah. But see, and that's the fun stuff. That's the, you don't need to have a Keith Yates theater. You don't need to have perfection. No. And you do have a great theater. Don't get me wrong, but
I mean, I like it, but I know it has flaws, but you know, most of us have theaters with flaws.
We all do. Yeah. And that's how, and that to me is part of the fun too. There was I forget who the director was. I think he's done the Fast and the Furiouses. And then he did this other movie. I think he did Hurricane Heist. Oh, his name's on the top of my tongue and tip of my tongue. Oh my God. But anyways, in the Hurricane Heist, he did, is it Rob something? Cohen. Is it Rob Cohen? Yes. I think.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
Okay. So I think he, whatever movies he was doing before Hurricane Heist, right? He had an insane budget. Okay. And he's like, they were like, yeah, you need, I need two cranes for this shot. I got to get a crane coming in here. We're going to come down here. The explosives are going to, we're doing this. And they're like, all right, I need a third crane. They're like, get the third crane in here. All the studios, this. He wanted to do a shot for Hurricane Heist. He's like, I need a crane. They're like, no, figure another way around it. He had no budget for another crane or a crane or something. And he's like,
right.
So they developed a tech, a technique around it. And he's like, and he says in the like audio commentary, he goes, that's where art's made. Art isn't made when they just keep giving you money to tell, to throw at something and do it. He goes, I had to figure my way around this stuff. And, and that's where it comes. And that's what we're doing in our room. It's like, for all intents and purposes, we're taking, whether it's a small bedroom in an apartment or you're, or like Steve, you know, took a garage door, a garage and turned it into a theater.
Yeah.
We're all creating art with our theaters and we're, cause we're trying to work around all those imperfections and create an experience that's like going to the movies. And at the end of the day, we actually overachieve because it's better than when you go to the movies.
It's so true.
Isn't it?
I mean, yeah. Yeah. And that's ultimately what I want. It's just better than that. As long as I can be better than that, I'm happy.
Right. Well, I didn't set out to be better than that. I was just trying to get there. And then one day you wake up and go, they're not keeping up.
Right. Exactly.
Really, yeah. Is what it is. You know, it's like I kept working and working to get there, going to Dolby Cinemas, trying to like experience that. How do I get there? And it's like, I mean, SVS has to just put their ad outside of Dolby Cinema. Like, you want that bass? Call us. You know,
yeah, exactly. And
that's pretty much what I did. I had I couldn't afford at the time, but I started with a Frankenstein system of two different subwoofers. Mm-hmm. I don't even know who the other manufacturer was. My father, it was a company going out of business and they're like, they're selling off a bunch of stuff if you want it. I'm like, yeah. So I just threw it in. It helped, but it wasn't until I went to the two, you know, SVS's front and rear centered and boom, you're like,
yeah, you
know, what a difference.
That's one area where I think we've talked about this before. It's like one of the areas that I think you absolutely can't skip on is the sub. It's
you really can't, or you can
can't. It's I mean if I was a newbie in this hobby.
All right, we're going 3 hours again because we're gonna push back hard on this. No,
I would say,
let's remember Todd loves bass.
Don't race out and buy whatever you can afford right now.
Right,
save. A sub is something that I would spend an extra year saving for just to kind of get it's into.
More important than an engagement ring.
It's right. Honey, we'll get married in 2029.
Yeah. You spent a month's salary on this and how much on that?
Right. I think it's easier to get away with budget speakers than it is to get away with a budget sub is what I'm trying to say. And I would save as much as I could for that subwoofer because otherwise you're going to end up just buying the next budget sub that's another 200 more, and then you're going to get rid of that after it, you know, breaks down on you and bottoms out, and then you're going to get the next one, and now you're at $800. And then you're like, well, what I really wanted is, I don't know, what would be kind of that good entry level, maybe $1,000, somewhere in there. But I would strongly encourage people to not just buy the cheap.
Right.
I'm not going to say any name brands, but everybody knows.
Well, here's the thing. It depends. Like when I started out, it was, I mean, subs were hard to come by. They were super expensive back then and you just didn't have them. And I was in a living room. So it was a little different. So I did, my first, I'd say 10 years of home theater, I didn't have a subwoofer.
Mm-hmm.
This is 80s into the 90s. Then when you get one, and I had, it was my NHT, so I went with the NHT subwoofer. I think it was the 10, which had external, you know, amplifier to it. And it was pretty cool. Looked in the rack and
yeah,
it was a nice add to the system, but you didn't get any thump. You just got more bass. I, I agree with you. If you have the room to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're still doing a living room space and you're still trying to, you know, that's tough to be like, okay, now I'm going to go spend all this money. I'm going to save up. I'm going to buy this crazy sub and it might be an open living room plan. And you might have just saved up and it's hard to get the punch out of it. And you're like, what did I do? It's like, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And it is important for the full experience. And it's, I honestly can't, well, I can. I'd say going to a projector was probably as big a jump as adding subs to your room.
100%. Right? 100%.
Other than those two things, what would you say would be a bigger jump? I can't think of anything.
Honestly?
Yeah.
Kaleidoscape for me was
really
just for the way that you acquire movies, but also the way that you get to experience them, at least for me, the experience of, you know, sitting down and having all the movies there, the experience of how you find them even on your own server, all that, the whole package is just such a pleasure to use. So for me, that was a big one to add on.
It was a big one to add on.
Yeah.
But I would say the actual sit once the movie's playing, you see what I mean? It's like, you go from a panel to a projector.
Yes.
And you're just like, I don't care what you're watching. You put on your Apple TV, you put on anything. You're like, oh my God, look at the size of that screen. You know, that's that when you go up to 100+ screen.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the Kaleidoscape experience. This sounds silly, but it's literally never ending. I mean, we do it on this show all the time. I'm like, I just bought it. I just bought
it. Oh, yeah.
Because it's just like, you're driving. Yep. Oh, man. It's like, I'll have people that, like Nelson, he has a Kaleidoscape. Oh, such and such just dropped and I'm coming home from work. And I'll be like, boop, bought it. Sitting in traffic. All right. It'll be there when I get home. That's a different experience, but it's not like when
you're talking about the playback,
and getting the most out of that content, getting the most out of your favorite movies. Right. And it's like, I can talk Kaleidoscape all day with you. My listeners have a drinking game. Every time I say it, they take a drink. And it's like, because I love that's, and to be fair, they're kind of busting on me. Like, you're always talking about Kaleidoscape. Well, that's how I watch my movies.
Yeah.
It's like, if you watch it on a 4K disc, you're going to say that. It's like, if you watch it on Blu-ray, you're going to say that. And they'll be like, oh, one guy was like, wrote it. It sounds like you're rubbing it in. It was like, well, do you have 4K? Are you rubbing it into the guy with the Blu-ray? I'm like, no, I'm not. That's just what it is. And it's like,
it's a good, I mean, look, people may hate to hear it, but it's really that good of a product.
It
bottom
is.
Line. I mean, it's so for me, so that's one of my favorite pieces that I've brought into the rack. But no, I think you're right. Projector, huge. And I think sub is probably right there with it. In terms of, you know, you get a really good sub or subs into your system, the impact that that has on your experience is pretty awesome. It's a game changer.
I think those are the two. Literally, it's like the projectors, the visual version, and that's the audio version is the subs. It's like, because you can have a fantastic experience in a dedicated room. With Atmos in, you know, seven channels all around you and you've got your four overheads and no subs, it's going to sound fantastic. And then all of a sudden, when you can afford those, and that's like you were saying earlier, that's relatively easy to pull off. Mm-hmm. You can get a decent, you know, I mean, for probably a Frankenstein, you don't need crazy speakers overhead. You don't need that. Could probably do that for a few thousand dollars. Like, you put this into the room. If you got a space in your basement or a bedroom you could go nuts in, you could do that. And it's going to sound amazing. You get the pans and the jets and the bullets and all the stuff going around the room. and you're going to think like, it can't get any better, because you're going to run those at full frequency. You're going to have bass.
Yeah.
The explosions are going to sound like explosions. You go boom, and you're like, how can it get any better? You know, and then all you bring in a sub and have it a single sub placed appropriately for your listening position, or dual subs so that you get, that's just easier to place, but you can get the same effect for that one listening position. But you add that in and you turn it on and you'll be like, what the hell was I listening to? It was like your glass was half full before. You didn't realize what you were getting, what you were missing.
And on the flip side, if you bring in something that is undersized, or you just, you know, I hate to say it like this, but a cheap sub design, just a crappy sub, you're going to hear that thing and go, oh, you know, you'll hear it bottom out, or the port chuff, or just, you know, we're at a key, key moment of the movie. You know, it's going to, it's just going to let you down. And that's why I say, if you can, if you have some patience, save.
Yeah.
It'll pay off big time. For the speakers, though, I mean, twice a year, Polk Audio has a 50% off sale. Polk makes, you know, some very competent speakers. You can pull together a great system for not a whole lot of coin.
Right.
By buying something like, you know, just being patient, striking at the right time. And like you say, once you get it set up correctly, it's going to sound really, really good.
Yeah. And then let it evolve, because you'll start to hear like, what am I like? And then go and listen to other stuff, and then try to duplicate that. And that's how I did it. Right. It's like I put my systems together, and then I'd go and listen to other systems and be like, why isn't my pan as nice? Why didn't it go? It didn't feel like it went across the room the way it did there. What can I do for that?
Mm-hmm.
And then you start listening around, then you upgrade something and whatever it is. And next thing you know, you're like, oh, and you're literally learning. I didn't know at the time, but you're getting the ear. You're becoming that audiophile. You're listening for the differences, and you're learning stuff that you didn't even know existed, you know?
Yeah. I'd love to be a fly on DJ's wall when you get home from Cedia. So I know what's going to happen. Plane lands, car is going to race home at like 120 miles an hour, right to the home theater room. Cause we all do this. Everybody does it. And they want to hear, okay, I heard this demo like five different times. Does it sound, you know, similar here at home? And you may just find that you like what you're hearing at home better than what you heard there. And oftentimes it does sound better.
I've never been to Cedia. I've never been to a home theater show like that. I've been to enough demos. I've been to some, to other people's theaters. I've been, Jim, my projector, I'm working on this one. Come down here, you know.
Oh, he's that's
like,
awesome.
He's like, I got this $60,000 projector that I gotta calibrate. It's in my house. Come down, blah, blah, blah. Right. So I've had those opportunities. And what I've found is over the years, and this is why I say the tech is getting so much better now. Everything's so much better. When I was younger, you'd come home and go, all right, I'm not there yet, but the tech has gotten so good that even when I go, and it's, you know, obviously in the last couple of years, it's not exactly been the same as it's been before, but even a little bit before that, it's like, you come home and go, pretty much the same, pretty close. I don't think it's a testament to my theater. I think it's how close the tech is getting and how good it has become, that even all of the good stuff has come down to our level. So like even this, the Keith Yates design, it's crazy. You have to actually have special materials on your walls. Now that's the level they're getting to for improvement, because we've gone so far that the tech is so good that we're like, all right, now we got to improve the walls to find some kind of an improvement in the room.
Right.
That's how insane it's gotten.
Right.
Which is great. That's great. But
yeah, you know, you want to know something really cool about Keith Yates is that he's not, you would think that somebody who's building multi-million dollar home theaters and he has these, you know, clients that are building $15, $20 million homes and things like that, that he's probably raking in some good coin. I don't know what he's making off of it or not, but that topic, that discussion is nowhere on his radar. He is so dialed in on the experience that he's giving people.
Yeah.
That's all he cares about.
Yeah. And it's, you know, great.
It's really cool. And when I talked to him last year at CEDIA, he was telling me this story about this one theater that he had built. And the wife of the family was kind of giving him a hard time during the process. And he could tell that she didn't think the theater was kind of like the most important aspect of the home and, you know, this and that. And he went back to visit and talked to her later. And she told him that she would go into that room every night and just sit there with the lights off, no movie playing, just because it is that absolute quiet.
Yeah.
And just even that for him just brought a smile to his face. Like, he just loved the fact that he had even delivered that, you know, to her. You know, he has tons of stories about how people just have these, you know, grins on their faces when they do their first showing in the theater, and they take pictures of the families and stuff, and everybody's just like, wow, you know, it's really cool. But I love that about him, that, you know, he's not pretentious. You know, you don't get the feeling like he's specking things out and he's getting his cut type of thing. You know, he is so fixated.
It's not about the money. And this is the stuff that I'm talking about. Like, we're doing it at our level, right? He's building the Ferraris. We're the Fast and Furious people. But it's true. Yeah. You know, it's like, and we're all doing our theaters, whether you, like Steve George had somebody install it for him, but it's like, or you did it yourself. It's like, we all have a level. It's a piece of art to show off art, because all that Keith is doing is taking something and he's trying to, you know, solve as many problems and try and create something that really shouldn't be done in these spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And that it takes an artistic, creative mind to do all that. And I know exactly, like, when you're telling that story, it's like, in how excited he gets. He doesn't do it for the money. He does it for that, the look on the people's faces, the appreciation they get. Because when I've done art for people, I can't wait to show them. I can't wait to see, like, their reaction. It's not about, and most of the time, like, I've done stuff for people, I'm like, I don't care about, I just want to do this project. Did I tell you about the time I painted the guy's bike and I put his tattoo on it?
Mm-mm.
His full back is tattooed. You would never know. He's a businessman and everything, but he has a full back tattoo. I'll show you. I'll text you the pictures.
Okay.
But he's a big cyclist. And he had sent me years before, he had sent me pictures. I work with the guy. He's a manager at a dealership. And he had just sent me a picture of his back. And then he said, I need some work done. And he has like a $16,000 road bike for cycling. And he's like, I need some stuff touched up on the... He's like, I'll take the frame. I'm having the bike broken down, taken apart. I'll give you the whole frame. And I mean, it's one of these frames that you can hold in one hand and do this with, right? It's carbon fiber frame. And he goes, I just want it touched up. So I'm like, all right. So we talked about this in July, and he goes, and you could do whatever you want to it. And I'm like, okay. So, and I went up to it and I got the idea like maybe 10 minutes after I talked to him. I go, anything I want? He goes, anything you want. Okay. Full color tattoo on his back. His frame is like carbon fiber gray with white lettering on the side. So I do all the touch-ups on it, but I black and whited his spine down the top tube. So like it would mirror, like when he's leaning over the bike, that's what that would be. And I ghosted it in to the top tube.
Oh, wow.
Gave it. I turned this thing around in like 2 weeks. I was so excited to get this done. I airbrushed the whole thing in. I give it, I clear coated. I give it back to him and he goes, what did you do to it? He looks at all the little chips I repaired and he start, and I'm getting excited with this is Christmas Eve day. I was giving it back to him.
Oh, wow.
We met in a parking lot to do this and I'm sitting there and I'm getting like, I can't wait for him to see it. And yeah. he goes, what'd you do to it? I go, you'll see it. And he starts looking around it. And he's like, I don't see it. And he keeps flipping past it in his eye. It just goes right past him. And then all of a sudden he flips it back once and he just goes, and he started crying. And he's like, what the hell did you do? He was blown away. And I was like, Merry Christmas, buddy. And, and it's like, to me, I'm getting chills thinking about it now.
That's really cool.
It's that stuff that you just want to see out of people that you just like, it's the reaction. It's not the money. Yeah. It's not this. And you know, a year later, he was pulling his garage and he crushed it because the bike was on the roof, but that's another story.
Whoops. Well, I mean, it happens.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. He texted me a picture. He goes, look what I did. I was like, oh, God.
He's like, can you come paint this?
No, it was ruined. Once you crack carbon, you're done.
Yeah,
but it's exactly. That stuff. I've done that on Harley bikes. I've done that for people that you're just so excited to get it back to them.
That's awesome.
You know, and that's I can relate to that. It's like, you know, he's making millions or charging millions of dollars, but he's doing millions of dollars worth of work. Mm-hmm. But it's not the money. It's the reaction. It's the appreciation. And yes,
yeah.
You know,
yeah. And that's what he's all about.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and that's what I love about this whole hobby, whether people realize it or not. It's like, we're doing art. We're taking in art. We're doing all of this stuff. And it's like, you know, that's what makes this thing so much fun. And the other part is, the engineering of it. I love that too. The marriage of art and engineering. It's just, it's so much fun.
It's pretty cool. I mean, we are really blessed to be living in the golden age of home theater without a doubt. It's
what if it's not, what if it, you know, what if it gets better and what if it, you know,
better?
Cause it's only gotten better to be fair. Right. You think of where we've come from. And we just, I don't know how much better it can get, though.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I think that this could be the end of what we know as home theater coming.
And on that note, everybody, have a great night.
Good night.
Todd loves bass, but this is the end.
I think I have a sneaking suspicion. I mean, well, you saw what Apple came out with.
You want to discuss that? I have my thoughts.
I think that just based on the consumption habits of young generation right now, mm-hmm. who watch TV on their phones, like we all do, but you know, a lot of their content is consumed through iPads and telephones and mm-hmm. or smartphones. I just have this sneaking suspicion that the home theater, the large screens, the big equipment will all go away and it's going to shrink down to something that you just put onto your head. And it makes me really sad to even think about that because I do enjoy the social aspect, even though you're not talking necessarily during movies, but you get to share laughter or, you know, have offhand remark to somebody or be able to chit chat about something that's happening during a really good movie. That's always a lot of fun. And that's going to get taken away from us if we all shrink into these headsets or eye sets or headgear, whatever you want to call it, virtual reality gear.
Right.
But I just think that it will get to the point where it's really good and it's going to be so convenient that people are going to go that direction. Whereas, you know, what you have in your room and what you're talking about building, that's not convenient. You know, you need a big space and it's heavy equipment and it's super expensive. And that Apple device, whatever the name of it is also very expensive. It's what, $3,500?
Yeah.
That will come down.
Yep.
But if they can pull off an incredible experience and you can see a 100-inch screen, I don't know.
See, I don't think, all right, Ira and I had this conversation like the day it came out and he texted me. I think I might have disappointed him a little because I wasn't as enthusiastic about it as he was. And it's because now I like it. I love the piece. I'd like to get one. I think where you're going to see that utilized is in like you and I talking to each other right now. It'll be like, I'm in your room. It'll probably be able to, they'll have a tech where it's like, we'll be sitting at a table together. Mm-hmm. And then the best part would be is I could totally see that we would be able to broadcast it live and I could put you in my room or you could put me in your room.
Yeah.
And then what they're watching on YouTube is us sitting at a table together. And we feel like that's what we're doing. So it is going to bring us closer, right? Because that's what we crave. And this is what I went into with. It will become popular, but I don't think it's going to replace home theater. I don't think it's going to replace certain things because everything you just said is true. But if everybody that's, I don't see people that are into home theater now stopping and getting this and saying, I'm done with home theater. What I see is people in addition, like people that aren't into home theater already getting their home theater this way.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? So they were never going to get a home theater anyways.
I think we might be saying the same thing, but
I don't think home theater is
our timelines anywhere. Might be different. Yeah. For you and I, folks in our generation, maybe home theater will continue to exist as it does. But I think the people coming up behind may go in the other direction.
No, and here's why. Why I think it won't. Human nature, we're pack animals. Like you said, it's not just a wish. It's not just a hope that we don't lose touch with people. It's an instinct. We don't want things on our heads. That's why when we do put them on, we feel odd. And Apple's trying to answer that with, I'm going to show your eyes. And when somebody comes in, you can see them. But it's outside our nature to be inside something and away from other people, right?
Right.
Yeah. Cover a dog's eyes. They don't like it for very long, right? They're pack animals. They don't understand it. We don't like it. It's not within our nature. It's not in our instinct to do that. So we'll do it for a short period of time. But we're not, I don't think we're going to turn into that as a species.
I hope not.
I don't think we're, you know.
I hope not. You know,
it's Wally. Never worked before.
Have you seen Wally?
Oh, of course. Have you seen Ready Player One?
They're like floating around. Yeah. I mean, they're like in those chairs floating around with the, I mean, I, it makes me nervous that it could go that way, but I guess. I look at it as something very similar to the iPod, which, you know, really took a lot of people away from, I mean, not many kids are going out and buying large stereo systems, right? They have their phone with the AirPods.
Right.
You know,
but we had been doing that with Walkman CD. We said when the Walkman came out in the 80s, where you could put your tape in and you can literally walk, that was a big deal. That was insane. Remember the orange foam?
Oh, yeah.
Head cassettes. That was a big deal.
Yep.
And then, I mean, all the iPod is a refined version of that, right? So we were already down that road.
Yeah.
Think of every iteration of us putting a big headset on our face and separating ourselves from the world. It has never gone the way of the Walkman. It just hasn't. It's like even the Walkman itself, you'll put your headphones on or your earpods on and going to the iPhone now, you put the stuff on. But then when you get someplace, you take everything off when you're with people.
Mm-hmm.
We're not separating ourselves and it's never taken off that way. 3D glasses. We don't. It's like, I want to watch it naturally.
Yeah.
So I see it being viable. I'm not trying, like when Ara and I were talking, I had to keep saying, like, I think it's going to be popular. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it's going to go the way of the iPhone, the iPad, that, you know, or But what I just I think it's going to be a great tool, but I don't think it's going to overtake everything.
I think it depends on how good it performs. You know, if you can put something on your head that is like mind blowing, we're talking like an OLED, 85 inch OLED experience where your jaw is on the ground. And you're just like, holy
you're
cow.
You're still not going to get that sound though. And we got to get to that spatial calibration. Because that's in there. That's all in there. But all of that, you're not getting that infrasonic.
No.
You're not getting your subwoofer level. You're not getting that experience. There's always going to be a huge compromise there.
But people may be willing to make that compromise. I mean, we were willing to do it for, you know, the iPod. You know, crappy little MP3 files on, you know. I don't know. I get what you're saying. I do think we'll have to wait and see how the technology performs first.
If it gets smaller down to a regular pair of glasses, I see that becoming where you can actually see through them, but then it does holograms and gives you information on where you're going. And I want that for cycling. I keep hoping like I can get my speed and my, you know, a warning of somebody coming up behind me, all, you know, a heads up display for when I'm cycling. Because I love tech. I love that stuff.
Totally. That might actually even exist. One of my daughters have goggles for swimming that has all that data.
Yep.
That projects up inside. So when they're swimming, they can see, kind of data.
They see heart rate, maybe. Heart rate.
Yeah, I'd have to ask them what it is. Yeah. So, pretty cool stuff. I'm very curious to try it out. I enjoy still having the real world spatiality around me. You know, like you said, having things on your face and head, but you can totally see where a younger generation that's just used to that gravitating toward that. I hope not.
Yeah.
But
well, I think it's going to be a great tool. I'd definitely love to have it. Like if I had one, you had one, and we can watch a baseball game together.
Oh, that would be crazy.
You do like, I said that to Ara. I'm like, can you imagine someday where like every arena dedicates a seat with a 360 camera? And it's like, you pay to watch a game and you basically pay for a season ticket. And it's like, you're sitting in that position. And if you get to like, you and I could be at whatever stadium, like I could go to Baltimore, you could go to Fenway. It's like, speaking of which, I've been to Baltimore, but I took my father and my son down there one year.
Oh, did you? To Camden?
It was fantastic. Awesome. We stayed at a hotel that was like a half a mile up the road. Like you'd look down the road and you could see Camden, right? And we had a walk down there and I'm like, it was a hot 90 degree day. And I think this was the first time we did a road trip because we go every year to a Red Sox game. And this was the first year where, like, we're going to see the Red Sox. I surprised them, like, we'll go down to Camden, right? And the prices down there are so much different than Fenway. Fenway's ridiculous, right? So I got, like, top of the line, you know, it was, like, $55 a ticket. And I was up on the first base side in the luxury section.
Okay. Yep.
We step out of the hotel. It's like 95 degrees and humid. And we got to walk down the road. And he's like, maybe there's air conditioning. There was.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're out in the field and they're blowing the cold air on you in that section because like you go back to the, it's all carpeted where there was that's a nice escalator.
Section. Yeah.
Yeah. The club section, but those seats are like, you can't even get into Fenway for that price.
No.
Yeah. And it's like, so I bought them like months in advance or whatever, but I was just like, this is crazy. And I'm like, they're literally blowing cold air on you on a hot night. And I was like,
I think what you're feeling is out of the, so the club section, the seating for the club section is right in front of the luxury boxes. And the luxury boxes have an outdoor seating section and then a big glass sliding wall. So if the luxury box leaves their glass wall open, the air conditioning from inside the luxury box will come down onto you. So you must have just been sitting where...
I thought it was for everybody because I was looking up and they were like, I'm like, this is fantastic.
Yeah, I don't think it's for everybody. I think it was like, probably one or two of the luxury boxes had their door open and you could just feel the cool air.
If you're ever sitting there, just yell up, can you open your door?
Sure. I know.
Open it up, please.
It was the whole game. It was like, this is great. I'm like, we were nice and cool. Great seats. I don't even know who won. It was just a great,
awesome.
It's a great facility. It was fantastic.
I love it there. Yeah.
But anyways, what were we on?
Do we want to answer Johnny's question here?
Oh yeah. Let me see. What do you got? Yeah. Sorry about that. You're right. There we go. What do you guys think about Ascendo CCRM15's on wall for your LCRSs? I am not familiar with them. What do you think?
I'm not familiar. I think I'd have to look. They may have been at CEDIA last year. Is there on wall speakers?
What I know of them, I would just say you probably can't go wrong.
Yeah.
But it depends on what you're used to listening to. If they're, are they known to have a tone? Are they colored at all? Like a BMW?
Fairly neutral.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like high-end installer grade.
Right.
Type gear. Johnny, I'm going to have to get back to you on that one, to be honest.
Yeah.
We'll see if they're at CEDIA again. I'm pretty sure that they were with Storm Audio last year, but I cannot remember what they were running in that room.
Yeah. When you get into stuff like that, the higher end stuff, I always am like, even if I haven't heard it, like specifically for like in a setup, which is always tough anyways, because it's not your setup until you get it into your room
and
compare it to what you're used to running. That's the big difference. And when you're getting into the higher ends, it's like, if it's fairly neutral, you're used to listening to fairly neutral. I don't know. What were you running before? And I think it's fun to experiment. Like, I'm still waiting to get to my next set. I upgraded and I was blown away going from the NHTs, which are neutral, fairly, and to the SVSs, which are considered neutral.
Right.
But that upgrade there, and wouldn't you say that's considered a sidestep? They're relatively the same. Price wise, everything across the board, even how they look, they have both the gloss black, they have the bezeled sides, they look, one's a little bigger than the other. I did that, but
the execution is
a little different.
Is the SVS is probably a tad bit brighter sounding.
Yes, it is. It's a tad bit brighter, which I kind of, I'm wondering, is that more appealing to me now because I'm older and I wasn't, like, maybe that's what the NHT sounded like to me 20 years ago. Cause I'd had mine a lot. I've been listening to NHT for 25, almost 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're younger, you're better attuned to the higher frequencies.
Yeah.
And now maybe the SVSs are actually, and it's only a slightly more. So, and it's pulling out a little bit more for me because I'm not able to hear that frequency as well now.
It could be.
You know, that was one of the things I was thinking. I'm like, because I'm amazed at the clarity that I'm getting. I'm literally shocked at how much of a difference it was to me. I was like, holy crap.
Which model of SVS?
I've got ultras across the front, bookshelves, ultra center. Okay. And then I've got the, prime around everywhere else. My other four, my surrounds, surround backs are the, prime bookshelf.
Yeah. Those ultra bookshelves. So I reviewed those and the, ultra towers at the same time.
Hmm.
And I ran them both in two channel first.
Okay.
And I thought that the bookshelves gave a more detailed image than the towers.
Okay. Why do you think that is?
I have no idea. It could just be the an artifact of the cabinets. Definitely the low end is a little tighter, right? It doesn't go as deep as the towers.
Right.
There was something about it where the image was just better. I mean, also maybe I didn't quite have the towers dialed in, but I spent a lot of time trying to dial the toe in correctly and everything. But when it came to two channel listening, I thought the bookshelf, ultra bookshelf, was a better sounding speaker than the towers. Now, I did not run the bookshelf speakers for movies at that point. I had moved them to the rear surround, but I can't imagine why they wouldn't excel also at movies, because you're crossing over a sub anyway.
Yeah, I have
they're really fantastic speakers.
They are. I have my front stage crossed over at 100 because they're into like the cabinets in the front of the room, the way I have it designed. And I called SVS and I'm like, because they rear ported and everything, I'm like, there's enough room in there for them to breathe. I just don't want them to be bloated. And, you know, I don't want that bloated bass or anything. And I'm like, so if I cross them over at 100, I'm thinking that might help it. And then they also were like, I wouldn't worry about that. It's like a lot of people take the, especially the center channel, and they put it into a stereo cabinet or something anyways. So you're only doing what they're doing. And he goes, just try it out and see. And as soon as the first movie I put on, obviously, was Star Wars. And I'm like, it's the mid bass that the clarity in mid bass that I'm getting, and the extra punch in the drums and stuff that you're hearing there. And it's like a tactile feel, but the detail and everything, and the crispness and everything, that it feels like you're right there with the drum going, you know, and you're like, you can feel that, like the stick hitting the drum, right? Like it feels instantaneous. That I thought I had a great, and I did, I thought I had great experience with my NHTs, but then when you do this, you're like, holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah. They're really high level speakers.
Yeah, for what they are. I mean, I'm going to be doing what are the other Kefs and another, I'm forgetting now the other set that I'm going to do. I'm going to face them all off when I get the chance. I got to get my tools back and build the little stands for them so I can. I already bought the like you, I got boxes sitting over there in the corner, but I bought a switching station so that I can just go, you know, and I mean, switchers so that I can AB them fairly quickly, two set of front stage speakers at the same time. Cause it's not easy. You can't buy your typical AB switcher because you're running three speakers each, right? It's not just a single setup. You know what I mean? You're not running two pairs, you're running three speakers. So it's like, you gotta spend a little bit, so
that's awesome.
This spatial calibration thing.
Yeah. This is perfect timing because look who just popped into the chat there.
Yeah. Techno Dad.
He's one of the creators.
It's Chana. Oh, really? Oh, yep. Okay. Nice. All right. So
Chana and Joe of Joe and Tell. Created this spatial audio calibration disc, and Chana and I were at a dinner with the CEO of THX at CES this year, and afterwards we rode over to he gave me a ride over to Showstoppers event that was going on, and on the car ride over there he was telling me about this spatial audio disc that he was pulling together and sent me a copy to check out. And it took me a little while to get to it because a lot of the reason for the delay was I had the Trenov wired into my system for so long, and I really wanted to run the spatial audio disc because with the Trenov I didn't have my full array of speakers going. I had a 5.4.4 system with the Trenov. And so I wanted to get the full thing running with my Storm audio processor. And it was just, have you played with it?
The spatial audio?
Yeah.
The disc or just spatial audio in general?
No. The disc. Yeah. So that's, you need to get your hands on one of these. You're going to love it. It's really cool. You know, I think Chana will tell you it's, you know, it's got to be difficult to create one of these discs. And I think they put a lot of time and effort into it. It really shows. It's a disc that, he says, no, you didn't scare me with this crazy driving. Sorry, I just saw that.
Yeah.
We did. I think we hit warp speed, driving down whatever Vegas road we were on. No, it was a fun ride. So the disc has 160 tracks on it, and it's just, you know, for me personally, I would use it more as a confirmation disc.
Yeah.
Once I let the storm processor do its thing. And I think a lot of other people with high level processors and things like that will probably treat it as such. But if you don't have, you know, really good, room correction, if you have a less expensive AVR or whatever, you can definitely use this disc, I think, to tweak things more in your favor. But it's,
Will it expose flaws and help you correct them?
Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah, it can definitely expose some flaws. Sure. They put in a lot of really interesting test sections. I think there are 13 sections in total. You know, they kind of start you off with the very basics of getting, you know, your system's volume set correctly so you don't blow your speakers up or blow your ears out. Yeah. And then, you know, you run through the basics that we all know, like channel leveling and things like that. And then they shift into checking your speaker's polarity, which is kind of an interesting exercise, which basically you make sure that your front left speaker is wired up correctly. And that's kind of your baseline. And then you begin comparing using audio tones all the other speakers in your entire system to make sure their loudness, Chana, I hope I'm explaining this correctly, but to make sure the loudness of those speakers matches that of your front left speaker. And, you know, if anything is sounding a lot less loud, it could be it's either out of phase or, you know, the polarity is switched up. So, you know, it's all these cool little things like that, that are a lot of fun to play with. But then, much like what Spears and Munsell did. So Spears and Munsell, Ultra HD calibration disc, which I think you have.
Yes.
You have that.
Yep.
Have you played around with the Dolby Atmos?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, you know, they have the image of the ball bouncing around the room.
Yeah.
And you can follow it. So they did something very similar to that with Pink Noise, but then they also added in, I think this is in the torture test. They call it torture test. It's like the maybe 10th section of the disc. They added in Chana's voice, and it's kind of cool. He's like, this is me moving around your room. You know?
Yeah.
I don't have the voice to do it, but.
Yeah, but do you remember the guy did that in the Video Essentials.
DVD. Oh, did he?
In Laserdisc, he goes, let's do the walk around the room. And he would walk around your room.
That's right.
He goes, we're going to walk, and I'm going to the back of your room right now. And he'd walk down your room. And what was funny is, especially in the 90s, you'd be like, and now I'm going to walk around your room, and then I'm in the back corner. And you're like, oh, this is so cool. But everything was so far off. You're like, oh no. But you were just happy you got, and I used to play that for people. I'm like, just sit right here. And I literally sat them on my coffee table because that was like the middle of the room. And because the couch is on the back wall, I'm like, sit here, watch this play. I am going to walk around your room.
You're going to love this because this ups the ante. It takes his voice.
Does he go over your ceiling too?
Well, yeah, they have different patterns that you can send it on around your room as an object. And the one that I really liked was, I think it was an X pattern like this, but they do it on three planes. So it's kind of like your bed layer, then it's up a little, and then it's on your ceiling. Yeah. So, very cool, you know, confirmation test. I think I will, you know, definitely going to be using this when I review the LX805, you know, just for confirmation of.
Oh, damn. I've never heard that one on Laserdisc. Yep. I still have it too. I think I got the Laserdisc somewhere. Video Essentials. Yeah. And it wasn't called the Video Essentials DVD because it was a Laserdisc.
Right.
It was just, yeah, Video Essentials. Yep. Yeah. I can't remember if that came with the film though. I know the DVD did. Came with the blue film so that you can calibrate your set, your color and tint.
Yeah. Which is unfortunately. Yeah. Complete crap, but
that even they said that
they did, they did, but was, they everybody
I didn't
wants
to say it. I didn't want to say it. I think I told you or you and I talked about it. And I'm like, or I don't know, but I got it. I'm like, yeah, I looked at it. I'm like, yeah. And I, or maybe I said it on the podcast. I was like, what's good about it is if you don't get a calibrator, it's pretty good for this and that. And I'm like, but once you get it. But then they even said it. I was like, oh my God. And yeah, they made it.
You know, it's one of those things though, that people want to have some sort of confirmation.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And I was disappointed they left it out of the last disc because even, you know, just like an entry level person can take that and at least get their TV going in the right direction. Right.
It also helps you learn too. You understand what these bars mean. If nothing else, you understand what the Simpty bars are, right?
Exactly.
Like, what the hell are all those blocks? And yeah, like, how many people didn't know there's supposed to be a gray bar in the bottom corner?
Travis Ballstad told me that they used to use those blue glasses in the broadcast studios with their CRT.
Yeah.
TVs, like they would just get those out and make sure that everything was set correctly. So yeah, both are great discs. I think, you know,
it sounds so much fun.
The spatial audio is a little more expensive than the Spears and Monsol.
Where's it available?
The spatial group.
Spatial group?
Spatialgroup.com. I think maybe Chana, you can chime in and drop the link in there. But if you type in spatial audio calibration disc, it'll take you over to their website. I think the disc may be out of stock at the moment. You can maybe chime in and let us know.
Spatial CD? Spatial
audio calibration toolkit is the...
Spatial group. Spatial. Oh, there we go. Yep. AVS Forum. Has spatial audio. Do you have it on your link?
I probably can get it. Yeah, hold on.
Can you pull it up? Because that's what I was going to do. You want to share your screen over there? Can you do that?
Hang on one second.
Yeah, very interesting stuff here. Let me look up.
Here, let me drop it in here.
I'm just pulling up AV Nirvana here.
Here. There we go.
Oh, there we go.
Do you see that on there?
This one?
Yep.
Yep.
SpatialCD.com.
There we go. Yeah,
it's going to be
easy. That's what I said. Yeah, SpatialCD.com. That's the one I had. So, yeah. Let me...
Yep. So, they have it in digital file. You can purchase it and load it into your ZPD or your whatever. Or you can buy the disc version. It's the same thing. Or you can buy both, I think. Both is like $150.
Yeah. There you go. There it is.
Really, ultimately, you just need one or the other.
Yeah, looks cool. But yeah, I love playing with stuff like that.
Yeah, no, DJ, this is right up your alley. Seriously, you'll love having this, especially with your new theater build. It will help you. You know, just another one of the sections I really liked is a crossover point section where they just have like low end tone sweep that you play through. You know, you shut your subs off and you have your main speakers and you play this tone so you can hear the natural crossover point in your room, which is cool because that helps you identify where that crossover is going to be. And I noted in review, if you have an AVR where you only have one global crossover point, maybe it's a little less helpful. But for somebody who can set a crossover point for every channel, it's kind of neat to have that ears on confirmation of what's actually happening with speakers that are installed in your room.
Yeah.
And you know, there are ways that you can pull that off without the disc, but it's neat having it all right there on the disc. And particularly for somebody who's not quite technically savvy or somebody who wants kind of a blueprint of how to go about kind of confirming or checking their room. Well, they have it all written out. It has like a 24 or 25 page,
bathroom reading.
it's actually really well written for.
Yeah, no, I'm not even joking though. That, yeah, that's no, like, it is. You take it in and then you're like, you can really sit down. Like you read this stuff and like, leave me alone.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? But cause I love reading that stuff. I am not good at learning through reading instructions for stuff. And like I got to get my hands on something, but I'll read about it. Won't really understand it until I start messing with it. And then I'll be like, oh, that's what they were talking about in there. Mm-hmm. And then you just start doing like, I know a lot of people, I haven't experienced this one yet, but I know with the Spears and Munsell, people are like, it's so confusing. Know your settings. Take a picture of the settings on your whatever you're calibrating, right? Write them down. Take a picture. Do whatever we do. Mechanics do it all the time now with their phones. This is what it looked like at the beginning. Make it look like that at the end. That's how we put it back together. You can do that with your settings. Then just start messing with them, right? And it's like if we're talking picture wise, take it and blow out like the brightness, see what happens, what it does with each one. And you learn that way. And it's like, you could do that with audio as well. And you're like, all right, I love the sound of that. Like you said, like you shut your subs down. Here's what everything's going to sound like. And it's, you mess with things and you, and I could see how that would, you know, expose some flaws that you might not have known you had gaps in areas and stuff.
For sure. Yeah. Huh. I see Joe's in the chat there too. And you say spatial audio calibration toolkit, and it's like the bat signal goes up.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about the Spears and Munsell, the last version of that disc was really intended for pro calibrators
right.
and, you know, the Meridio guys, my buddy Jason Dustal, you know, it was never really intended for the home enthusiast. This version that they released now is actually 4 years late. And it's a good thing that they waited because they were able to do a lot more with it. But, you know, that last disc was complex because it didn't come with any, you know, user manual really of any kind. And a lot of people opened it up and they're like, what the hell do I do with this thing? The new one is much more friendly. It has a booklet, you know, that's got all kinds of information to kind of hold your hand. And a lot of the things that are so complex, you're not going to be using the pro calibrator and the, you know, professional reviewer or whatever.
You gotta mess with your stuff. You gotta mess with these things. You've got to get used to your settings and start messing with them because the systems are really good to the point that the tech is so good now that the need for a professional calibrator isn't as necessary as it used to be. And if you can get used to, you know, discs like this, you can learn so much. And hey, it might be a flaw you can't fix. But you'll know you'll have something that it's like, okay, it might be it could be a flaw to the room. It could be a flaw to your system as it stands, but it gives you an idea on what else. Cause I know I had that. I know when I ran, you know, Video Essentials and stuff, I'm like, what's below black? My systems couldn't do that when I first got a disc that had below black on it. And you're like, it's out there somewhere. You don't need it. It's just for calibration, but it's like, okay. Or subwoofer stuff when I didn't have a subwoofer. You're like, oh, there's some frequencies going on right now. I'm not getting them, right?
Sure.
You know, so these things will show you stuff that you don't, you might not even known existed. And it's play around with them, but by all means, get the pictures of what your settings are at the beginning and then start playing. But they're so much fun.
Did you see what John is saying there? We've found that a lot of users say the call outs are coming from the wrong speakers, but the AVR pink noise is correct. That means the user has their height channel set up incorrectly in the AVR.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah,
so there is a call out section where they have they're calling out the speaker location rather right. than just having a tone coming out of speakers in your room. So that's kind of a nice, you know, this is like rear left channel, rear right channel. So you hear it coming.
Yeah. So if I'm running, but the pink noise coming out of that speaker would be right. How's that work?
Well, it looks
like, isn't it just sending it the same way? That'd be like, it's either going to go or rear. Well,
that would
channel.
Be if somebody has wired, their height channels incorrectly into the rear of the AVR. Oh, so the pink noise does not engage Atmos.
Oh,
okay.
Oh,
interesting.
Oh, very interesting.
Ooh. I see what he's saying. Okay. Yeah. 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 It's a great, I think, look, if anybody's watching this right now, they're geek enough to go out and buy this. This is definitely,
yeah, absolutely
much like Spears and Munsell, which I think is a must own disc. I think this is definitely one that everybody should have. At the ready, like you said, to learn from, there's a lot of learning that can be done when you just get more intimate with your system.
Right.
But, you know, also for folks like you and I, great system confirmation.
Yeah. Yeah. It like from the beginner, I had stuff like this when I didn't even know what the hell it was, but you feed off it, get it, learn it. And you know what? You're going to have it probably 2 or 3 years. And then you'll be like, that's what that thing's for. That's what that test tone was. I didn't even know what that was, you know? Right. And it's so much fun, especially like you got nothing. You'll get the bug too. You'll be like, I still do it now with all of my test discs. You'll be like, I got to put it on, see how things are working out.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Run a test zone. I found out once that the kids put the speaker back wrong. Polarity was wrong. They just like, bleh. One time I found out they didn't even connect it. That was a different story. But yeah, you find out all sorts of things because it's good stuff.
One of the things that I wish that AVRs had built in would be a sub test button that was just right on the remote. They would just play pink noise out of the sub before, you know. I know you can go into the settings and you can play it yourself, but I wish there was an easy button because that is the one part of my system where I'm always left, you know, that sub come on. So I have my SVS sub set. So the lights are off. The little digital readouts on them are off. So,
right. Yeah. I have mine are older. I had to put a piece of black tape over the blue light.
But you know what I mean. I mean, you're left with that moment where
right there.
Yep, that's right. Well, black tape sometimes works even better, right?
Yeah. But yeah, it's like Techno Dad. Haha, they knocked over a speaker.
Yeah.
I wish. No, it's kind of like half in the wall, half out of the wall. And my daughter just told me about one of them where they just bumped it and it fell out of the wall, hung there for a second. And then they just picked it up and put it back. But I think the wire didn't fell down inside the wall and it stayed that way. Mm-hmm. And I was watching probably a Star Wars movie. And all of a sudden I'm like, there's a gap in my sound. What the hell? And I go up and I grab the speaker and look and I'm like, there's no wire. There's the wire. I'm like reaching down in the wall. I'm like, how did this? That doesn't just happen, especially when I connect them. I mean, those things are cranked in there. They're right. Downright.
Somebody knocked the speaker.
Yeah, and then, and that was years ago. My daughter, now married and out of the house, and she thought it was funny to tell me the story about it. So,
right.
But yeah, they've reconnected them wrong. They've done all that. So, These should be the spatial audio calibration toolkit. It should be the kid correction toolkit. It's like, what the hell?
And Joe's talking about some of the more advanced stuff that he's been doing with it. And I'm hoping to talk to him about that at some point.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I should have him on for a Takeover Tuesday.
Yeah,
Is he up for 2 hours? He doesn't have to.
Maybe. Just as long as you keep him short of 3 hours and what was it, 40?
I don't know. And then we talked after.
I know.
Oh,
what a night.
What a night. But, are you all right? Let's we're coming up on 2.5 here. So
yeah, we are actually my oldest daughter is in from Boston and she landed at 9.
Okay.
At Nationals. So I am going to have to go up and
all right.
Say update. Hi to her, but
when are we doing the 24?
Oh gosh. 24. Okay. Yeah, we need to talk about that cuz I feel really bad about it.
Why? Don't feel bad because maybe I'll just do it because that's what I was thinking. I'm like, I know we have a grand plan of making like raising money and doing it. Maybe we wait and I'll just do one and we'll just have fun with it. And then we'll roll that out later. Cause I would like it to turn into an annual event, but mm-hmm. I mean,
or weekly?
24 hour show a week. I actually thought of doing it from Cedia, and then I was like, I can't. I'm gonna be so busy. I'm just enjoying it. If I did that, I'd just be like, all right, now I just flew out Denver to talk to some people for 24 hours. Now I'll do it. I want to do it after Cedia, and then and I'll do it. And then you and I, we can take our, see how that thing goes, how smooth it is or isn't.
And can I hop in on that anytime?
Absolutely. It was your idea.
Just like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, just hop on and be like, what's up?
Well, yeah. Cause especially on something like this, I'll be sending links out. So you'd be able to jump in whenever you wanted. And I'll have people, you know how this thing works. Yeah. So I'd be, yeah, absolutely. I would expect that of you.
So when I wake up at 3 a.m. to pee, I can.
Yeah, you can
come in.
You can just leave me on your TV while you sleep.
My wife will love it. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I'll be sleeping in the basement that night.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man,
this is creep. You wake up to this. Right. It's like. Todd loves bass.
Oh, cool. Look, DJ, it looks like they're going to hook you up with a disc.
Oh, geez. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah.
Thank you for, oh, man. I can't wait.
I'll link you guys together.
And I think, and Joe was saying, I'm always ready. So I was actually thinking, and we've been going so long, I was actually thinking of having you get them. And I'm like, just, I'll give them a link right now. But no, we've been going a while. So
it's getting late.
And let's divide it out. I'll just have them on. I can have them both on if they want, but one or the other. But yeah, that'd be great. Just talking
to you guys. I'm sure you guys would have a good chat.
Oh, yeah. Do they like home theater?
No, they hate it. Nah.
Yeah, that's funny.
I would assume that they are pretty big fans.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I like. It's so much fun meeting all these different people that are just like, I mean, I just like listening to the stuff. You and I talked earlier about yourself. You actually are, you're made a business. You're working in it. You're doing it. And like, they took it to another level. And it was like, they're making discs and they're like, they're helping us. Mm-hmm. I just love this stuff. I'm not that smart. I'm just dumb. I just push play.
Nah, don't do that. Don't say that. That's just so untrue.
No, what was it? Danny said, I said I was really shy. And Danny goes, you're one of the most outgoing, you're not at all. And I was like, no, everybody has, everybody's shy. It's just some people are dumb like me, and you're just like, I just forget about it and do it. Oh, I'm petrified every time I get on.
I don't believe that.
Oh, yeah. I get nervous. Really? I get nervous. Oh, wow. Yeah. I was excited. I'm always excited to talk to you. I said that to my wife, and she's like, why? I go, I love talking to Todd. We have a blast. Oh, well, like, we're so like-minded. Yeah, we just have a blast. But I do get, I get nervous because I just want to, I want to make sure it's good. I want to have fun.
Yeah.
And I always do. But.
Oh, you make it seem very natural. So don't, I think you don't need to be nervous anymore.
Yeah, yeah, right. Oh, that's part of what it is, though. You know, you've played sports. You've done stuff. You're nervous before games. You know, I mean, you've done it a million times. And if it wasn't for the nerves, things don't go right. It's, you know, you got to have that. So
yeah, yeah, for sure.
Joe's at a restaurant right now. So you got an iPhone, don't you? Yeah. The linguine. Yeah, that's good.
That's right. No. Sir, what did you say? Yeah, you want an impulse response for dessert?
He's in a restaurant right now. I'm going to walk around the room. What's this guy doing? Treating him to spatial audio in the restaurant as he walks around the room.
That's good stuff.
All right. We'll wrap up there. Thank you, everybody, for participating. It's been a blast in the chat. This is our first ever live stream of anybody else just having fun doing a live chat. And
really?
Yeah, I've done live streams. Our show is streamed live, but I've never had a guest on and chatted and just an open, you know, usually I just record them and put them out. And I figured you and I doing it with you would be the easiest way because we're just, I know it's going to be good. So
awesome. Yeah, I love hanging out with you.
Thanks. Well, again, feelings mutual.
That's we need to flip it around and do AV and Nirvana live with DJ. Maybe your whole crew, your whole bus bench.
Well, it's hard to get. Well, John's tough because his schedule. They're both tough to get. We tried to do another night. I got my 300th coming up episode in a few weeks. And we tried to organize something, and with Steve is 5 hours ahead of me or of us. Yeah. And then John with his schedule, it's like we've pretty much narrowed down when we can all guaranteed get together. And that's Tuesdays.
What time do you do it?
5 o'clock. We live stream at 5 to 7.
So that's okay. Right.
And when we get off that, when we're done at 7 o'clock, it's midnight for Steve. So he's going 10 to midnight every Tuesday for us. And
then I mean, guessing he probably goes from your stream right down to the Cinema George to watch his next.
No, it is funny. Like when he first joined John and I, right? He was so happy and he's so like but he'd have to get up and he'd be like, guys, I got to get going. And it's like, I got to get up early in the morning. I got a case or something. And we're like, okay, all right. And food's there. Joe's got to eat.
Yep.
But he'd hang up with us on the street after we're done recording or streaming. And then it would be 20 minutes of text messages of thank you. John's like, go to bed. Like John and I are still chatting here. And then we're like, here he is again. Thanks guys. I'm having so much fun. Like we know we're glad you're on. We're so thankful. He's thankful, but he just couldn't, he'd get in bed and be like, he's so happy.
He's, I don't think he actually sleeps. It's like Clockwork Orange where he's in his movie room. Eyelids are peeled open. Somebody's there dropping little drops in his eyes and he's just taking in movies.
Yeah, he's a machine. He just sits down, watches movies, but he doesn't do a lot of tweaking at all. He doesn't do any tweaking. He just, his room runs.
For a second there, I thought you said twerking. I'm like, okay.
No.
Okay,
24 hour episode. Not till then, we're holding that off. Twerking.
Right. And that's when I said I was jealous of the amount of time.
Right.
And I need to make more of an effort to you know, I was just saying this to my wife the other day. I need to make more time to experience these things than to spend, you know, like on the net researching something.
Right.
Yeah, I feel the same way about the things behind me. I love playing, but if I spent 30 minutes less on the pinball form that I love, I could be down here, you know, grinding out.
Playing pinball.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, I think I need to, I'm trying to step more and more away from the internet as much as I can. It's really hard to do though, but I think I can find more time in my day to watch that. I just watched Red Eye the other night. I've owned that forever. I've never watched it. So, you know, it's things like that where I squeezed it in. I was really happy I did. So, you know, that's my, you know, my post birthday goal is to take more advantage of the time that I have left. So.
Yeah, it's, and even I'm the same way. It's like my son-in-law asked me, he's like, do you find you're watching more movies now that you have the podcast? And I said, not really. Actually, it's probably slightly less, maybe a different variety, because I'm actually getting, you know, motivation from listeners on certain stuff that maybe I wouldn't have chosen. But there's only so much time, right? Because sitting down, you and I sitting down here, we could have watched, Endgame. you know what I mean? So it's like, but I do enjoy this part of it. You know, I love this part of it. I wouldn't trade that, you know, and it's like because that is the one thing that before I started the podcast that was missing, right? It's like, I was alone in my room. And it's like, I just did all this stuff. And then I go and visit somebody, like I'd have Jim, I need a calibration. He'd come over and that would be the exciting thing, you know, or he'd call me up about a piece of gear and I'd do that. But that was like a couple times a year. But now it's like talking to people. And I just feel like it's for me, it's like, yeah, it's great. It's like, could I be in my room all by myself every day? Yeah. But what fun is that? You know, it's like you want to talk to people and get those experiences.
So let me tell you something before we go. This is going to blow your mind. I've never seen Endgame.
Did you see Infinity War?
No. I started watching the movies with.
I don't want to ruin it for you, but
don't ruin it for me. I started watching the movies in order with my youngest daughter before she went away to freshman year of college last year. And we stopped on we're halfway through the second Captain America movie, I think is Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are. But I've seen all the Iron Man movies.
Yeah, you've gotten through that. Yep.
Guardians is also the same. Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians started, it's got to be right around there, the first one, Marvel. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've seen those, but I have not seen the big, the big end ones. So yeah.
Wow.
I know. Yeah.
That'll be an event.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that we're going to make some headway. I own them.
I'm sure you do. Oh, wow.
I know. That's going to be fun. I didn't think I could make you speechless. You're trying to process this right now. You're like, that's like me telling you I've never seen Star Wars.
Don't tell me that.
Oh, I mean, you know that I've seen Star
Wars. Yeah.
I love Star Wars.
I know where the button is to hang up. It's like,
No, it's,
that's cool. I'm actually kind of like excited for you. Like I think it's going to be a fun time. I actually watched all the Avenger movies in a row one day. I did Avengers, Age of Ultron, and then Infinity War and Endgame. I think they all came out on 4K one day in a set and I did them all.
Okay.
Something like that. Or the last two came and I was like, I'm doing them all. And it was like, remastered, blah, blah, blah. So
we were trying to watch all of the pieces as they rolled out, not just the Avengers movies, but the various offshoots.
Right, right.
Do you think I should just skip all of those and
Do what you want to do. I'm like, you can, I would enjoy it at the pace that you're going and do that with your daughter. And it, because that sounds like a lot of fun, right? Like that's, it takes a long time, but that's a fun time with, it's time with your daughter. You get to experience all of those movies in a quality theater, of course. Who cares if it took you how many years, but it's like when you finally get to finish, you will have done it. Well, no, I mean, it took 10 years to do
it. I might be 89 years old when I see.
No, but I think it would be fun to do, you know, for, to experience that with your daughter. And it's like, and you're going to make time to do it, you know, if you want to do it. I wouldn't rush it. I wouldn't all of a sudden go, all right, let's do it this way now. I would just keep going.
Yeah.
Do it the right way. And just, you know, because it's not about, don't get into the part where it becomes like, I got to get through these. No, this is fun. You know, right. It's not a chore.
Well, I mean, we've literally been on hold for almost a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got to, it's up to me to now get her to, she's the kid that does not love watching movies, but she watched all of the Avenger movies with her friends.
Okay. And
she was like, you got to watch them, Dad. So I was like, okay.
Oh, so she's trying to get you to watch them. That's all the more reason. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had seen some of them along the way, but most of them not. And
right.
So, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I've got to be in the minority of home theater enthusiasts.
Of home theater enthusiasts. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Of the world. I mean, the billion plus people saw those Avenger movies in the theater. Those last ones.
Yeah. So you're with the 2 billion people. What is it? 3 billion people in the world?
I don't know.
There's more people on your side. No. Yeah. It is surprising, but I think that's pretty cool, especially if you know, it's something to do. And I wouldn't say I'm envious, but it would be fun to go back and experience something like that again, because you can never go back and experience it again for the first time. You know, and to be able to do that, it's like, I remember I saw Rocky 3 first. I had never seen 1 and 2.
Ah,
and
okay.
Spoilers to everybody, I had no idea he lost in the first one. I had no idea. And it's
really?
I saw 3 in the theater and I was like, I thought I knew the progression. I'm like, okay, he gets the title, he retains the title, and then 3, he loses title and gets it back. That's all. You know, or defends title in 2 and then goes on. Mm-hmm. And then after 3, I thought I knew the story. And then when I did get, you know, I rented at the video store, I rented Rocky, and I got home and I watched it. And I was like, I mean, if all that, well, it was probably only like, whatever, 6 years later, but it's like, and I was a kid, there was no internet to spoil it for me. So I was shocked. I was like, this is amazing. So Rocky isn't in Endgame, so. You'll be good.
Right. Well, that's one of the charms of the original Rocky, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We need more movies like that, in my opinion. I mean,
yeah.
Well, we were talking about the Covenant. The one flaw about that movie is that the ending became predictable.
Yeah, but it's still good. Yeah,
it's don't take, this is not like a criticism of the movie. I love the movie. I think it's fantastic. And I'm right there with you. I think it's one of the best, if not the best releases of this year. But it does kind of have that Hollywood, like, how crazy would it have been if that scene at the end had been gone the other way?
Goes differently.
Massacred, right? That,
right.
That would have left you. Or if if Jake Gyllenhaal had not made it back, but the other guy made it back, right?
Yeah,
is the interpreter. So I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
It's a good speaking code, but it's still a good. Like I said, it's like the acting is so good though, and the story up until then is so good that you know the story, and by the time you get there, you're like, I see where this is going and everything, but it's so good by that point that I'm not, there wasn't a minute that I was like, like, oh, okay. So I was blown away by it, obviously. But yeah, but yes, we do need more movies that like Rocky.
Mm-hmm. Just to answer one question here, Joe.
What's that?
Joe said, is there an advantage to using bias lighting for a projector setup while the projector is on?
I don't see that.
It's in the chat near the bottom there.
Oh,
1021.
Oh, okay. All right, go ahead. I'm looking for it. Oh, there it is. Boom. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very unusual to see a bias light in a theater because you don't really want to introduce any of the light that could shine back onto your screen. But yeah, I mean, I think visually you get all the benefits as long as that light is not seeping into your room. I think that's really the danger.
That to me, like bias lighting came about, and I did the whole thing. I painted the wall the correct color. This is back in the 90s. You had to have that certain gray, and they had a way you put the certain bulb. It had to have it's because you're trying to get the right neutral gray.
Yeah.
The reason we had bias lighting and my interpretation of it, even to today, it's to reduce eye fatigue when you're watching in a smaller display in a dark room. You're trying to create so your eyes don't have to just focus on that smaller screen.
Well, that's one benefit of it.
Right. But yeah. Now what I was going to say is now when you go to a projection system, that goes out the window. The screen's so large that you're getting so much light, you don't need the bias lighting, and any benefit. I actually, in my opinion, I don't see a benefit. You and I have talked about this, I think, in the past on the podcast, in a projection system, because exactly like you said, it's like, if you're going to run a high, you know, you're going to calibrate your system, you're going to do all of this to get your lighting correct in your room or get your projector dialed in. And I've talked to multiple professionals about like the color on your walls. You're getting that dialed in because the light, even the light coming off of your screen hitting your walls, that's going to affect your interpretation of that color. So like my walls are blue, for instance, that's going to tint just because I'm seeing it too. It's going to change my perception of it. And what they do when they dial that in, they're dialing in those colors to compensate for stuff like that. When you, you're getting fine details that, you like, I like that, right? But if you're going to get that refined, but then you add in bias lighting, which is like on a projection system, to me, it's now you just messed with everything you did up until that point, all the calibration you did up until that point.
I know Jason Rosenfeld at Scenic Labs told me that he has installed it on theater systems. I've never seen it myself. I can only speak to the review of the D65 kit that he sells on an OLED, which it, you know, in my opinion, is like a must add on because it changes your perception of contrast, but also color.
Right.
But you have to get the light temperature absolutely correct.
Right.
It's gotta be that
neutral. Yeah. The 65 Kelvin.
You do. But he told me that the color of the wall, because the light waves coming off of the that aren't reflecting off the wall are still at D65 and that you can still get away with a slightly colored wall behind that. It's not as big of a deal. What is a big deal is like what Philips TV does where they throw green and red and blue. That actually is working against
its visual
system, but there is a lot to be said for those kits.
The one you're talking about, I know doesn't it actually use your wall, like it reads your wall or something like that and tries to get you to the correct gray even though the wall has it can be slightly tinted. It's not as detrimental. Like when I said you had to paint the wall a set special color, that was back when you were using a specific bulb. It wasn't this special system. It was like,
I think
my wife's like, what the hell are you doing?
I think just in general, you can get away with like a neutral gray wall. It doesn't have to be a specific color. I have to ask him again about colored wall, because I had him on Avian Nirvana Live, and I remember him saying that wall wasn't as big of a deal as some people make it out to be, that, and it's actually a mistake to try and work against the color of the wall or work with it by putting a different color on it to make it appear white in the background. But
You don't want white. Yeah. Right. You didn't want white.
But that D65, it is an anchor point for your eye that really does change the way you perceive things on the screen. And everybody out there, if you're interested in it at all, you can go over to sceniclabs.com. And Jason owns that. Jason Rosenfeld, he's the guy that sells these kits to all the professional colorists and post-production folks in Hollywood. And his kits are tested to be at, D65. White, they're really legit. If you're going to do it that way. And he's very open to talking to people. Like, you can hit him up on chat. He's the guy that chats with people right there on his own website. I run his kits on all my TVs. I think they're pretty, I think the difference, I bought them after I reviewed it. I just went and bought kits for all the TVs in my house. Because I did see that.
It's like perception masking on a projector, right?
Well, that's what I was about to say. I think that
it's the reverse effect, but it's still amazing how the surroundings can affect your perception of something.
100%.
And that's why in a projection system with a giant screen, you typically don't have a lot of wall left. So all you're doing is adding a glow, which I think is actually more distracting. I don't think there's as much of a benefit, but on a display where there's more wall behind you, you can actually make it easier for your eyes to pick up the details that you want to see. So if you have that gray behind, say, a 75-inch OLED and you're watching The Batman, you're probably going to see more of the slight gradations in the darker blacks because your eyes are at rest and you're like, holy crap, I didn't see that before. Mm-hmm. Whereas if everything in the room is black and it's a smaller screen, you're just going to be like, it's your eyes are a little more fatigued.
And, it goes a little beyond the eyes at rest. Like we were talking earlier on about -6 dB off of reference and the psychoacoustics, and you can't really understand. Well, there is an actual scientific biological thing that's going on with your brain using that bias light as a reference point and what it's actually seeing, how your brain is interpreting it. In the review that I wrote, I put in some little images that show exactly what's happening with your eyes with bias lighting. You guys can go over there and check that out. It is really fascinating because it is like psychoacoustics. We call it psychovisuals, whatever
I
you want to.
You and I talked on the phone for like an hour and a half after you did that one, because that's what I went to school for. Remember?
Yeah.
And I was telling you, I'm like, I know all this. Like, do you remember doing the flag? And you look at the flag and it's the opposite colors. Then you look on a white piece of paper and you get red, white, and blue. And it's like, there's a certain amount of fatigue. I told you the story about car manufacturers tinting their silvers and their whites warmer to cooler because people's eyes get fatigued of seeing the same color over and over for years. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden that looks like a fresh color to them. They don't know why. They just slightly tinted it a little. There's so much more that goes into like I said, blue walls on my side. That's if my eye gets fatigued from that blue, the blues in the movies that I'm watching I might not be as perceiving them as well because my eyes are literally fatigued from stuff like that. That's the idea of bias lighting, where you can, if you can gray out the back and and not have any other distractions. That's part of it too, mm-hmm. is that you can improve your experience of viewing the details and stuff like that. And it's, sure. you know, it, there's so much that goes into it. And it, I was thinking it's the crazy. Same thing as you with the audio version of it and everything. There's so many things that we can do to make it easier to experience the things correctly.
Yeah.
It's a hard way.
Oh, it's nuts. It's really nuts that you can add a bias light around your TV and change the way you perceive color. Like it's just,
yeah,
it doesn't make sense, but it does once you start to learn the science. But,
it is. And it's like I said, it's just like the masking on a projector where if you can get rid of those bars, you can get a better, you know,
yes.
your eyes now aren't looking at that anymore, and you're just concentrating on what's
in
between.
You mean the light gray? Yeah. Yeah,
put your masking up so that you can just get that screen, what's on the screen is supposed to be seen, and you're like, oh, wow. And it
makes all the difference in the world.
Yep, yeah. Your perceived contrast goes up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
Yep. For all sure. Right. Well, listen, I've got to go up and say hi to Casey.
You got to go. I got to go. Thank you very much, Todd. Thank you to everybody for participating in the chat. Really appreciate it. I think it was an awesome first live stream chat. And
I loved it.
We chatted. It's always hard to hang up. That's the hardest part. Yeah, but we're going to.
So. Yeah, we've got to. I've got to go pay the family a visit.
Thank you, Todd. Read all his stuff at AV Nirvana. We're out of here. And when you're done here, just go push play.
That's right. Push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.